Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
It is Tuesday, July 21st. Good morning, Kath.
Good morning. In the news this morning, authorities say a babysitter has been arrested in the death of a two-year-old Philadelphia boy reported missing earlier this month. King Hill, last seen on July 5th and reported missing 3 days later, was placed in the care of Tiana Parks by his stepfather, authorities said Monday. His body hasn't been found, but the district attorney's office said cell phone and video evidence led investigators to the conclusion that the child was dead. The chief of the DA's homicide unit said they don't know the date of the child's death, the location, or where the body is, but based on this evidence, they know that the child was killed. 24-year-old Parks was arrested early Monday and charged with murder, child endangerment, custodial interference, abuse of a corpse, evidence tampering, and lying to authorities. Residents of the Strawberry Mansion neighborhood of Northwest Philadelphia, where the child's mother lives, took part in searches for the missing child. A gunman posing as a FedEx delivery person shot and killed a 20-year-old son of a federal judge and wounded her husband at their New Jersey home before fleeing, authorities said. The shooting happened Sunday evening at the North Brunswick home of U.S. District Judge Esther Salas and killed her son, Daniel. Her husband, defense lawyer Mark Anderall, was injured in the attack. Investigators are examining a possible connection between the shooting and the body of a man found dead Monday of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound in Sullivan County, New York, a law enforcement official said. The man, an attorney for the from New York City, is being investigated in connection with the shooting. The man had appeared before the judge in the past, the official said. Daniel Anderall, Salas's son, was set to be heading back to the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., where he was named to the dean's list this past spring. Esther Salas, seated in Newark, was nominated by President Barack Obama and confirmed in 2011. Prior to that, she served as a judge in New Jersey after working as an assistant public defender for several years. In an email statement, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy called the shooting a senseless act and said, "This tragedy is our latest reminder that gun violence remains a crisis in our country and that our work to make our community safer isn't done."
It's an assassination, man. It's
awful.
Horrible.
Well, wasn't this the judge that had been assigned to work on the Ghislaine Maxwell case?
Is that the
It's like an extended thing.
Right.
It was Deutsche Bank or something like that.
Right.
It was funding.
Investigating finances.
But and this guy that they think did it was a hardcore anti-feminist, and I was reading his website yesterday.
He was also terminally ill, right?
He was sick.
Terminally. I heard he was terminally ill with cancer.
The guy who they found dead.
And it seems like he'll just go for broke.
Awful.
Yeah, like he
lunacy.
Was. I think he wanted to tie up loose ends.
Yeah, that's what it seems.
Psychotic,
right?
Obviously. Yes.
Yeah.
Awful. People all around Philadelphia are complaining about the trash that's being left on the curb for days past its regular pickup. The union.
Not me. I love it.
Is yours being left?
I just love it.
Is yours
because
left too?
I've always wanted to ski, and now I have at least the option. To me, they represent a garbage version of the bunny hill.
Oh my God. So the union representing the sanitation workers said more than 100 workers have contracted COVID-19 through the pandemic, and because of the contact tracing, even more than that have had to quarantine. The stink has gotten so bad that Councilman Brian O'Neill wrote a letter to the mayor's office calling it another public health crisis and called on the city to hire private companies to help with the pickup. The streets department says it's keeping its options open and is also considering moving more staff and deploying more trucks for the pickup.
I can only imagine the Garbage Collectors Union fully embraces that concept.
Right? Just last week, there were 4,331 trash complaints, more than 8 times what the city normally sees. The streets department is asking people to put the trash out one day later than normal pickup for this week, and is warning people that even though you put it out there, it may take even longer to
get
picked up.
Heard, Kathy, that they ask you to re-examine the garbage and see if there's more you can eat.
Maybe
you're being a little rash in what you're throwing out.
Steve, they want you to bring the bags back inside.
Check it out.
Okay, all right.
You know, sometimes they're little gems.
Check it out.
You don't know. Maybe you were a little austere on that first ejection.
Oh, my gosh. So is yours sitting at your curb?
Actually, what we do is it's weird because they are coming by. I put my garbage out the collection's supposed to be on Friday. I put it out on Thursday. And then by next Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, It disappears. Now, I don't know where it's going, but it seems to be collected. The recyclable stuff gets collected first.
Okay.
And then, but I wouldn't say it's, I'm in a better situation than in a city street. We have garbage pile after garbage pile right. after garbage pile. I don't see it unless I go outside the garage.
Well, they're asking you this week to put it out a day later, but even to expect maybe it might not be picked up that day. All right, in sports this morning. Flyer center Sean Couturier was named a finalist for the Selke Trophy, awarded every year to the forward who best excels in the defensive aspects of the game.
Yay!
Couturier joins Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins and Ryan O'Reilly of the St. Louis Blues as finalists for the award. Couturier appeared in all 69 games for the Flyers this season, recording 22 goals and 37 assists for 59 points. He had a plus-minus rating of plus 21, which led the Flyers and tied him for 10th among all NHL forwards. The NFL made an offer to the NFL Players Association to play no preseason games this summer. The players were pushing to not play preseason games this year, and the league was seeking to play two games instead of the usual four. The NFLPA has not yet informed the league whether it will accept the proposal. The league said players will be tested daily for the coronavirus for at least the first 2 weeks of training camp, according to the league's new testing protocols. The Washington Nationals announced that Dr. Anthony Fauci will throw out the first pitch on Thursday when they open their season against the New York Yankees. The director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease has spoken regularly on the return of sports amid the pandemic and is also a big Nationals fan. And the Phillies announced that Aaron Nola will be their starter on opening day. New Phillies manager Joe Girardi said that the 27-year-old right-hander will start on Friday against the Marlins at Citizens Bank Park. It will be Nola's third consecutive opening day start. Roy Halladay is the last Phillies pitcher to start three consecutive opening days, which he did in 2010, 11, and 12. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Extended weekend for us. So we're back on this Tuesday morning, treating it like a Monday, as in our Word of the Week prize. So you get the first letter of the four-letter word this week. And we have to give away for golfers a pair of Ron Jaworski golf passports. You Whoa. Get a couple of them, and each passport entitles you to 8 total rounds of golf, and one at each of his 8 golf courses, which is pretty cool.
He has 8 golf courses?
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
Make sure that you get the letter at the end of today's program and keep track of all the letters for the week, because we'll have a word on Friday and we'll give that prize away. Casey also handed me this little note. He says a concert announcement at 8 a.m.
Yeah, man.
I was like that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get the details coming up at 8 then to make sure you're with us. And we have some other things. We have an opportunity for you to win as we are in this steam bath that we call summertime right now. And, it finally hit like full on.
Right. Yes. Yes. The womp occurred because what it starts to do, it starts to build up, and then things like the concrete doesn't get time to cool off. And then you start to get that rising sort of thing. And then there comes that point where you step out the door and go, oh, my God.
Yeah. And perfect timing. And I'm glad you brought this graphic up in front of me here, Nick. It's the Preston and Steve Duncan Cooling Caravan, which is going to be on the move on Thursday, headed out to some work sites, outdoor work sites. And we'd like to send the caravan to you in the morning, giving you going with some ice cold coffee, get a little kick in the tail and do it in a cool way. All you have to do. Now, the deadline to get signed up is Tuesday, tomorrow. Or no, wait, it's today. What am I talking about?
Hey,
it's today. Okay. It is today, and you need to get on that because I think we have, it says here, what time is the deadline?
No.
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah, thank 11 you very much. So go to WMMR.com and click on contest and fill out the info, because we'd like to send the truck by and just kind of get your day started the right way, and we'll make sure that all safety precautions are taken with our friends at Duncan. So let's get on board with that. That is happening and more. We have other things to give away. Want to go ahead and take a break. We'll get back in a second. We'll see what the celeb news rolls out for you. And we'll give some way in form of a stupid question. So we're going to be back shortly. Hope you hang out.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to ask a stupid question. We're going to give away as a prize a 24-karat gold-dipped rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. The question I have for you this morning is this. What 2005 animated movie featured a hippopotamus named Gloria? All right, 215-263-WMMR. Easy one, right, Case?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what 2005 animated movie featured a hippopotamus named Gloria? Let's see if you know. Call right now. And while we're waiting for that call, I'll rattle off people celebrating birthdays today. It is Tuesday, July 21st. Josh Hartnett celebrates his birthday today.
Like that guy, he had taken a break from acting.
He did.
It sort of caved in on him a little bit, and now he's back.
It became very overwhelming, and he's one of those rare people that said, you know what?
I can't do it.
I've got to go somewhere else for a while. And he's like a super good-looking dude, so, you know.
We actually met him when we did the Pearl Harbor press junket on the deck of the John C. Stennis, the aircraft carrier, and he was just kind of wandering around like a regular guy.
That's it. He was. He was just kind of walking around. We're like, hey, Josh, how you doing?
He was so unaware he actually came over to talk to us.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the big indicator.
Yep.
No idea what was going on.
He's
going
to be in this John Travolta, Kevin Hart thing, the Die Hard.
Right.
So that's his next project.
Okay. He's 42 today. Allie Landry, the model and actress.
Love her.
Was she the Doritos gal? Or
I think that's her, right? Because...
She was with Mario Lopez for a while.
But I remember her from the Super commercial Bowl.
In the laundromat.
Doritos commercial, yeah. So happy birthday, Miss Dorito. She's 47. John Lovitz, who is a favorite of ours, an in-studio guest many times over, and he's just the best.
You would think that that is a bit of an affectation. That is actually John Lovitz.
Yeah.
He is always that way.
He's great in so many movies.
I'm looking for the Will You Shut Up?
Oh, from A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
One of my favorite...
Oh, there it is.
Favorite characters I've ever seen of him portray is...
Will You Shut Up?
That guy.
He's also good in the movie Rat Race.
I didn't see it, I don't think.
Yeah, he's the one with his family. They go to what they believe is the Barbie doll museum, but it's the Klaus Barbie Nazi museum.
I love it. And Steve, you and I love Little Nicky.
Oh my God.
And
he's great.
He's only in the beginning. He's this pervert sitting
on a limb, yeah. And then he falls and dies.
Oh my God.
And he goes right down to hell.
Oh, it's so great. He is 63 today. Gary Trudeau, the Doonesbury cartoonist, is 72.
Still married to Jane Curtin, right?
Jane Curtin?
Jane Pauley,
yeah. Then you have Justin Bartha. He is in the Hangover movies. He's the guy who's getting married, who gets lost,
and
you don't see him until the end.
He spends 80% of the movie not on screen.
Yeah,
we had him in studio for something.
Yeah, there was a Fox TV show. It was when we were doing the Puppy Pooper Bowl.
That's right.
And,
oh my God, seriously?
They were all gagging.
They were about to vomit.
There's like four or five of the cast members.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it was like I remember that they were all like they were trying for a friend sort of vibe.
Yeah. And while they were here, we had like eight dogs crapping in the studio.
Welcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's also in the National Treasure movies. He is 42 today. Then I saw Rory Culkin, who is one of the, he's a brother of Macaulay Culkin. There's a couple of Macaulkins, right?
Yes.
Who's the other?
Kieran.
Kieran.
Here's the one
I like
Scott
Kieran.
Pilgrim.
Yes.
Kieran is also in a show called, man.
Come on, you can do it. Come on.
Succession. On HBO. Right.
On HBO.
Thank you.
Yes.
But
thank you.
Is Rory transitioning?
You know what? I don't know. Rory was in Scream 4. He was in the movie Signs. And some stuff I'm not
familiar
with.
He's becoming a member of the Phoenix family.
Oh, he is.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, so he'll be a Joaquin Phoenix relative.
Rory Culkin is 31 today. And then the final birthday that I saw is singer Cat Stevens.
Okay.
Now known as Yusuf Islam. Yes.
Okay. I was about to play this one.
And the cats in the
That's Terry Chapin.
Okay, but
the song has the title Cat. It's got the word cat in it.
Yeah. Father and son is what I'm looking for.
Yes.
I did that before, right? I just did that like 2 weeks ago.
You did.
It's okay.
Steve, you know what song I had randomly in my head the other day was Moonshadow. Do you remember that?
I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my eyes or learn the rest of the words to this song.
Yes.
I love it. And I love, you were talking about, T for the Tillerman is one of my favorite albums. Is that considered his number one, right?
I don't know. I don't know. He's had a lot of great songs over the years. Okay, I'm not waiting anymore.
Well, I got one more birthday for you, Preston.
Okay.
Local one.
He's 72, by the way.
Friend of the show, Eric Bazillion.
Eric Bazillion.
He wrote Cats in the Cradle.
He did not.
I didn't know that.
But he did write.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. The hooters at my high school now.
No, but he did write some great songs over the years.
He actually played at... Did he perform?
Yes.
What if God was one of us at one of our...
It was in the Possum Bowl.
The Possum Bowl.
What we did. Not the Puppy Pooper Bowl. It was the Possum Bowl. And he sang One of Us as the halftime performance.
And it was a...
You're still young.
Oh, this is Cat Stevens.
Jesus Christ.
It's not time to make a change.
But Eric is Eric's a great songwriter, man.
Yeah, he's so good.
We spoke to him not that long ago. He was in Sweden, and we were just chatting with him, just catching up. And he still writes music. I'm friendly with Dave Wasikinen, drummer of the Hooters, and he actually sent me a clip of a demo that they were recording the other day. And really cool, lyrically smart song that he cranks out that type of stuff, you know?
What are the songs he wrote for Cyndi Lauper?
That was not him.
That was Rob Hyman.
That was Rob.
Okay. Yeah.
Rob wrote...
Time After Time.
Time After Time. Huge hit.
Talented guys, man.
Still gets played, you know, quite a bit today.
And so. Harry Chapin wrote She Bop.
Which is about female self-pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's odd that Harry Chapin would, you know... I think he wrote that right after Taxi.
He did. He played one of the mechanics.
Let's see. How old is Eric today, by the way?
I don't even remember what we're talking about anymore.
67.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Eric Bazillion. Yeah. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's stupid question. What 2005 animated movie featured a hippopotamus named Gloria? And I will go to Jay for the answer. Yo, Jay.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Jilly. How are you?
Good.
Wait, what's your name?
Jilly? Yep.
Okay.
I like that name.
All right, Jilly, do me a favor and tell me what 2005 animated movie featured a hippopotamus named Gloria.
Madagascar.
You're correct.
Yeah.
Madagascar. Hold on a moment, Jilly. We're going to give you a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers, and Steven Singer Jewelers has fast, free, safe shipping, whether celebrating your life or just saying, I love you. Steven Singer Jewelers is there for you, and you can visit IHateStevenSinger.com. All right, we're going to start with Johnny and Amber.
It continues.
It does continue, and now we're hearing stuff from the other side. So on Monday, Amber Heard took the stand in London's High Court, claiming, among other things, that Johnny abused her and threatened to kill her during a three-day, quote, hostage situation. So the Sun is resting its case on its claim that Johnny Depp is, in fact, a wife beater and has recruited Heard to share evidence of the alleged attacks because they reported this and they have to back this up because they're being sued by him.
So really, this is not between this is more for the paper. And they're simply calling both these parties as witnesses.
Correct.
In support of their case.
On Monday, in written statements, Heard testified about an incident in Australia in 2015. She said, the best way I can describe what happened in Australia is that it was like a 3-day hostage situation. We were due to be there for 3 days on our own, but it was only when I arrived that I realized I was trapped in this remote place without any means to leave
and that Johnny had already been using and had a bag of drugs. She said, over the course of those 3 days, there were extreme acts of psychological, physical, emotional, and other forms of violence. It is the worst thing I have ever been through.
Hmm.
She also responded to claims that Johnny made that she put a cigarette out on his face and severed his finger with a broken vodka bottle. She said, I would be very surprised if he remembers anything about the whole event. He was in such a state. She said, and later described him as, quote, completely out of his mind and out of control during the incident. Now,
did she deny that it happened? Or did she just say she'd be surprised if he remembered it?
That's what I'm curious about, because I haven't heard all the testimony. I only have what I have here.
I would have been in court. Ha!
Yeah. Also, in her witness statement, Heard alleged that Depp explicitly threatened to, quote, kill me many times, especially later in our relationship. The actress also outlined the various ways in which she says that Johnny was abusive toward her, adding that, quote, much of the time he had difficulty recalling what he had done once he had slept it off. He would blame all his actions on a self-created third party instead of himself, which he often called the monster. He would speak about it as if it was another person or personality and not him doing these things, she said.
So when he freaked out, he'd say the monster was here.
Yeah, you're releasing the monster, whatever. All of the abuse contributed to a severe decline in my mental and physical health while I was with him, she said. Depp was also extremely jealous, she stated. She said that he accused me of having affairs with each of my co-stars, movie after movie. Eddie Redmayne, James Franco, Jim Sturgess, Kevin Costner, Liam Hemsworth, Billy Bob Thornton, Channing Tatum. Even women co-stars like Kelly Garner. He would taunt me about it, especially when he was drunk or high, and had derogatory nicknames for every one of my male co-stars he considered a sexual threat. For example, Leonardo DiCaprio was Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead.
Channing Tatum was Potato Head, and Jim Sturgess was Turd.
So how come both the other guys got heads and the other one and Sturgess gets Turd?
I don't know. Maybe because his name's Sturgess rhymes with Turd. Jim Turd Sturgess.
Actually, that's pretty good.
After Heard's testimony, Johnny's camp produced a recording in court that had her calling him an effing baby and admitting that she had hit him.
Hmm.
And she had added, in the recording, I don't know what the motion of my actual hand was, but you're fine. I did not hurt you. I did not punch you. I was hitting you. I can't promise you I won't get physical again, apparently, she says. Heard said, I did start physical fights, yes, so you did the right thing.
What a nightmare this relationship was.
Then she added, but what is your excuse when there's no physical fight and you still run away?
Huh?
I don't know.
Ah.
I don't know. They got married in 2015, settled their divorce out of court in August of 2016, and this continues.
How do you think it's going to break at this point?
I'm leaning towards him.
I think, against the paper.
Yeah.
I think there's enough to suggest that they painted a much darker picture. This is clearly a dysfunctional relationship, and it's good they're apart, but
yep.
They may have gone overboard in their depiction of what it was about.
It just sounds like there's a lot more, as far as evidence goes, there are a lot more people that are testifying on his behalf
than I've
heard so far.
At least, Preston, we found out that she crapped the bed one time, and
that
is worth everything.
Yes, it is. All right, just shy of 80 years old, Alex Trebek is ready to open up about his life and his current battle with pancreatic cancer. He is publishing his memoir, The Answer Is Reflections on My Life, and it comes out today, and he's giving interviews to support the release. He told ABC that he often feels like a burden to his wife of 30 years, Jean, but that she's a saint, and I believe we have some clips.
We do.
About those cases.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is referring to that.
There was one day a few weeks ago when Jeannie asked me in the morning, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like I want to die. It was that bad. I apologized to her and explained that it has nothing to do with my love for her or my feelings for her. It just has to do with the fact that I feel like I'm a terrible burden to her. And that bothers me tremendously.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's terrible.
And this is him talking about her once again.
She's a saint. But she has so much goodness in her that she is always giving out, always putting out to help me get over difficult moments. And there have been some difficult moments. I'm just in awe of.
He's getting choked up.
The way she handles it.
Oh man,
this is terrible.
Aww.
He is just, and he's just an inspiring class act. And then he talks, Preston, about at this point he still really hasn't put his affairs in order.
Okay.
I keep putting it off.
Do you really?
Yeah, really? It's amazing. I've said to myself, "Hey, you better start getting your affairs in order." And I know exactly what I need to do, but I have yet to do it. So there's something in the back of my mind that says, "Whoa, hold on a second, host breath. Maybe you're going to be around for a little while longer."
Did he call himself Hose Breath?
Yes. Host Breath.
Oh, Host Breath.
Okay. Last night, they played the first time he hosted Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It was wild to see it, and I forgot that they had this as one of the sets of rules on the original version of the show. You could jump in before he completed the clue. And it happened a couple times. Also,
interesting.
A couple people who were on Twitter were pointing out as well, as because I was, commenting about it. Every answer, right answer, got an applause from the audience. Okay. And when they get, ooh, so you'd hear a lot more interaction. Alex was like, and then, like a mile a minute, you know.
Yeah.
So, but he was even top notch at that point.
That's interesting. He has not put his affairs in order. We have to redo that sometime soon. I've done it before, and it's a bizarre experience because you talk about finalities, and it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And he also talks about that he's been very emotional lately as well. It's got to be hard to go through certain things like that. He had said that he was talking about his emotional struggle. And he said he was talking about his doctor. He told me not to feel embarrassed, but I said, I do feel embarrassed. I feel like a wuss. It's not that men shouldn't cry. It's that, my God, Alex, get yourself together here. He said just the day before, he said he started getting very emotional for no reason that I can think of while his son Matthew was preparing dinner. Noticing his father upset, the 30-year-old stopped cooking, came over to the kitchen table, pat his dad's back, and he said then the moment was gone. He said, thank God these things don't last long. I know that now, so it doesn't scare me as much as it used to.
It was a great interview that Harvey Levin, of all people, from TMZ did with him. What a life he's led, man. The book, I can't wait to read it because it's he's had obviously we're just familiar basically with Jeopardy, but mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that happened in his life that's pretty impressive.
All right, let's get on to some frivolous and meaningless things.
We need that stuff
here. Christian Cowan is calling out Khloe Kardashian. Let me say that again. Christian Cowan is calling out Khloe Kardashian. Right. The designer has accused... Oh. What?
Who's Christian? Is he the guy from...
he's a designer.
Okay.
He has accused the 36-year-old of selling borrowed runway samples on her Kardashian closet site.
Borrowed runway samples?
Writing on Instagram stories, Khloe Kardashian, why are my runway samples I loaned you being sold on your website?
So she was supposed to give them back.
Yes.
You're a whore!
You're a whore. A blue midi dress was listed on Closet for $1,300. A similar dress in the spring line retails for $1,950. Cowan said that he reached out to her team before grousing on social media, but was rebuffed.
Well, let me ask you, isn't that kind of a standard thing that Khloe Kardashian is doing, in that you you can sell stuff like that? I mean, there
well,
are...
Yeah, but it's not
supposed to be returned.
She was supposed to return it.
He's not getting credit.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, now the plot thickens.
It's theft.
It says, but we've emailed three times and no response. But per page six, Kardashian was never told to return the dress. An insider claimed the dress was gifted to her through her stylist without a mention of a loan, and it was never asked to be returned.
So that seems to be the issue here.
Do you think that's okay? So if somebody gifts it to you,
yes,
then for you to sell it?
Well, Preston sold that beer maker that you gave to him as a gift.
No,
I gave that away.
Oh, okay. Listen, because this is something that I struggle with. No, because I'm on the yard sale sites.
Tonight we talked to Catherine about her personal struggles in selling gifts that people give to her. I want to sell so much that people have given to me because it's all terrible and cheap. But I'm afraid of, well, I'm not really afraid of hurting their feelings. I'm just afraid I won't get enough for each thing.
For each item. No, but I won't, if somebody has given it to me, like I've gone to, like sometimes I'll forget and I've gone to post something and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I bought this. I think it came, you know, came from someone else.
Yeah.
And then I won't put it up. Because,
are you afraid they'll see it?
Yeah. Well, and just that, yeah, but kind yeah. of that, like, I don't know. Should I be making money off of something that was given to me? I should just give it to someone else.
I think at a certain point, the understanding is you've received something, you now own it. You know, and that's your call to do with it as you wish, you know. Yeah.
But you can also see how the person who gave it to you
might be hurt
a little bit if they do,
especially if it's like a kidney or something.
And you should say next time, just give me $100.
Yeah,
you know,
your taste is so bad, just give me cash.
So I guess re-gifting is better than selling online. A present that somebody gave you, Kath?
Like, no, it's not a present. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody, like, handed down, say, like, sometimes I'll buy used handbags or things like that.
But
the girl that I buy from, sometimes if she has something that she can't sell or she feels that it's not worth selling, she'll give it to me. So then, do you know what I'm saying? When I'm finished with it, I feel like I should give it to somebody. I shouldn't sell it.
All right. The dress has been pulled from the site. This isn't the first time, by the way, the famous family has been criticized for selling their worn clothing on the site, which has no obvious link to charities or other worthwhile causes celebrities typically, you know, give to when they're selling their cast off. So that's kind of a celebrity thing.
Well, but Chloe's very generous with the saddles that she has.
Mm-hmm. Joey Lawrence has filed for divorce from his wife, Candy. The 44-year-old actor and musician is seeking dissolution with minor children. The soon-to-be ex has tied the knot at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida in 2005.
I remember that.
Share two daughters, Charleston and Liberty, who are 14 and 10. In June, the former Blossom star posted a heartfelt tribute on Instagram to his daughters in honor of Father's Day. Next to the photo of the pair with their pet dog, he wrote, "My reason for life, my greatest blessings."
Who's his brother's also an actor, right? There's Joey Lawrence.
Matthew Lawrence, I believe. Yeah.
Actually, he has two brothers that act.
Yeah, the one was on Boy Meets World.
That's right? It, yes.
Okay. And I don't know who the other one is.
Joey was previously married to Michelle Bella from 2002 to 2005. So this is the second marriage that's ending for him.
Someday, oh, wow. It happens.
Find love, yes.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj revealed that she's expecting her first child with her husband, Kenneth Petty.
Ooh.
She took to Instagram to confirm that she's pregnant. In a series of photos, the bikini-clad Minaj can be seen cradling her baby bump. The 37-year-old star captioned one of her posts, "Preggers."
Fragger. You know, it'd be a good pregnancy gift for her, Preston? Mm-hmm. A homemade beer-making kit.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? She thanked her fans for the well wishes. And I actually like this message. It says, "Love, marriage, baby carriage." Overflowing with excitement and gratitude. So this will be the first child for her with her husband, Kenneth Petty, who she got married to in October of last year after more than a year of dating. So they're good to go. Oh, wow. Is that the picture?
Yeah, she posted a series of them. They're what I would call subtle.
Oh, my God.
Wait, let me see.
You talk about, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I love her.
But that's Nicki Minaj.
I know. Funny.
It's just, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
No, come on.
These are typical pregnant shoes that she's wearing. Steel stiletto heels and
And jewel encrusted. Okay.
All right.
Today's show anchor Savannah Guthrie is undergoing cataract surgery on her right eye to address a blurry spot after her 3-year-old son accidentally hit her with a toy train last fall.
I remember this story. You reported on it.
Yeah. She said it's been a long time, and I'm super excited. She was supposed to get it done yesterday, I believe.
I think the toy train has been sticking out of her eye ever since.
The whole time, yeah. So they hung a hat on it.
Oh.
So you can't see it.
Yeah. It's a caboose.
Guthrie was supposed to have the surgery done earlier this year, but had to postpone it due to the coronavirus pandemic. So she got that underway yesterday, from what I understand. Oscar winner Halle Berry dangled a fun day featuring 4 pairs of toes in front of a bottle of wine.
Ooh.
But her fans are wondering whose toes they are.
Whose toes are them? I'll kill them.
That's her stalker, her boyfriend.
Sunday fun day.
So
how many toes?
There 4. What happened?
4 pairs of
toes. Did you step on a landmine?
Mm. It wasn't 4 toes.
No.
Okay.
What?
Portos. So Barry split from her boyfriend of 5 months.
Who is it?
Alex DaKid
They split. Her first public relationship since her divorce from Olivier Martinez. So we don't know who the... do you have the toes picture, Nick?
Yeah, I see it right here.
Okay, so...
Some hairy legs sticking in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a Sunday fun day. She actually said that.
Sunday? She took my phrase!
Yep. Yep, so we'll have to wait and find out. She's just she's stringing us along right now.
She hasn't been, as you said, publicly connected to someone in a while. You know, did you see... you haven't seen John Wick 3 yet, have you?
No, I have not.
All right, because she's such a badass.
Great in it?
So great.
Okay. Let's see here. An actor named Johnny Ortiz. He was one of the runners in Disney's McFarland USA alongside Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
This guy's been charged with attempted murder.
Oh, boy.
And the story of the particulars only gets more interesting as the details continue to pour in. TMZ broke the story. Ortiz is currently being held on $1.12 million bail with a preliminary hearing set to take place.
So how brutal was this?
I don't know much about it. He is pleading not guilty, which lines up with the uncertainty that prosecutors have on his connection to the attempted murder of Brian Duke. However, it hasn't stopped Johnny from being charged for his connection with the crime. So there was
as I read about the gang case
member thing.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah,
I think I had heard that he'd given a pocketbook to this guy, and the guy sold it.
Oh, no.
Man.
You don't do that.
Online, and then he just freaked out. Yeah, it was like he sold it to the Crips.
He's currently in jail awaiting further proceedings. Mariska Hargitay posted a shot of herself and Law & Order SVU co-star Christopher Maloney.
Sunday fun day!
No, they captioned it, "It's on."
I had no idea who this was, and I knew it was her.
Yeah.
But in the photo, he looked way different. His
face hair and all that.
Face hair, bald head.
Yeah,
breasts. And the face hair was no breast, but it was like all white face hair as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, who is that guy?
Yep, that's him. That's Maloney.
It's Christopher Maloney.
Mm-hmm.
They were the pair on the show for the longest time.
Yep. So apparently the spinoff titled Law & Order Organized Crime will be headlined by Maloney as Elliot Stabler after he was written off SVU in 2011.
I think that was by his own request, though. He wanted to leave the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Production on Organized Crime will begin next month and will air Thursdays at 10 p.m. on NBC.
You know these shows. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. They grind up plot lines. Like, how many times can you go out on the same case? You know, one of the I forget who did the bit, but it was
John Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I love how he
hilarious.
Goes, how you know, a guy working at a bar doesn't even flinch when three detectives come in and start asking him about a murder. Hey, I got boxes to move, man.
And recalls everything from a night 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, when a bar that was crowded with like 500 people.
Oh, I don't
know.
Yeah.
He didn't to me.
Said something about his wife coming over that night. And he talks about iced tea. Yeah, like on a special victims. You mean to tell me this guy gets off on little girls? You've been in this division for 16 years?
It's great.
Yeah. It is a great bit. Yeah. And Christopher Maloney has a great story arc on Handmaid's Tale, by the way.
Christopher Maloney does?
Mm-hmm.
Handmaid's Tale. That's okay. I can't remember.
Let's be fucking up.
Okay.
I'm just thinking out loud. Last season. 3 weeks since my last confession.
Okay. Come on, we all do it. We all do that, right? We all do that. We start to speak out loud. What's going on? Hands made to
us.
One last story.
Our Father, who art.
Lindsay Lohan, Dennis Quaid, Elaine Hendricks, Lisa Ann Walter, Simon Kuntz, director Nancy Myers, and producer Charles Scheer joined Katie Couric to share the memories of the classic 1998 film Parent Trap in a reunion.
I dig that movie.
The event was organized to benefit Jose Andres' nonprofit World Central Kitchen. I didn't get to see any of it.
It was wild, especially when Natasha Richardson showed up, Preston.
Natasha Richardson?
Yeah, she passed away after she
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, I forgot she was in a movie.
Yeah, she was. It was Dennis Quaid and her, right, with the parents, and Lindsay Lohan played both twins.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Correct.
Okay.
What?
I was thinking Parenthood. And I was like, Dennis Quaid was in Parenthood?
No. Parent Trap.
Yeah, it was with Harry Chapin.
The Parent Trap. Couric released the get-together on Instagram, so I'm sure I can watch that if I want to at some point.
I wish they would get the word out about these things a little earlier, you know, because some of them I really would have liked to have watched in real time.
Yeah, until they've happened already. All right, we're ready for clips, so let's get to them. A couple of the young children let their judgment mother-in-law move in with them in United We Fall. Judgment mother-in-law?
You're my judgment mother-in-law.
That's what it says.
I am the law. I am the mother-in-law.
In this clip, co-star Christina Vidal discusses how she is able to relate to the show. Here we go.
I know for me that some of the best shows or entertainment are ones where I can see myself in it, and it can help inform me how to deal with my own life situations. And I feel like the show does that. It gives you a way to deal with the craziness of being a parent and being married and dealing with family dynamics and how to stay positive.
Where's that sound coming from?
Will Sasso's in there. We talked to him last week about it.
I watched the two episodes back to back. It's a funny show.
Cool. United We Fall airs tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on ABC. Here's the next clip for you. Justin Willman presents his own unique blend of street magic and magic for humans. In this clip, Justin discusses being influenced by David Copperfield.
He's the reason, I think, that a lot of magicians, at least of my era, like fell in love with the art form, because he's such a perfectionist and the attention to detail and made the freaking Statue of Liberty disappear. I mean, he didn't leave much left for the rest of us to do. What do I do? What do I make disappear?
Yeah. Magic for Humans is streaming now, and that is on Netflix. And that's it. That's my report for you today. Hope you got something out of it. If not, don't worry about it. We got other stuff we're going to get into through the course of the morning. Keep in mind, today is the deadline for you to get your worksite signed up for a cooling caravan with Dunkin.
You need it.
Iced coffee to get you started. We're going to do it on Thursday, and it's hot again today and tomorrow. It doesn't break until Friday. So if you do have an outdoor workspace and you're interested, go to WMMR.com, click on contest, and then get signed up because the deadline is today at 11 a.m. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, we have a show announcement that we're going to do as we get closer to 8 o'clock and more. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
With the oppressive heat the last few days, I mean, it was full-on sunny skies nonstop. So I'm very, very lucky, very privileged that we have a pool at my house.
Privileged.
But spent a lot of time
out
by the pool. Got some sun on my face. Yeah. And I realized that I never do sunscreen when I'm just outside of my house. Like, sunscreen is for going somewhere else.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which is stupid. And I should actually sunscreen up. And I saw some videos, I'm sure you guys are, or some pictures online that show you how to sunscreen. Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, my God.
Facebook. Somebody got this bizarre picture of him on a motorized surfboard in Hawaii.
Which looks cool, by the way.
And his face is turned at just this moment. And he's got, like, pancake makeup on his face.
So I've heard three things. Mime, Kabuki, and the Joker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it
looks like mime. He looks like a mime.
Yeah.
Is it straight up zinc that he has on his face? Like, what's going on?
It looks like house paint.
Probably. Yeah, it's probably zinc. That's what makes that white sunscreen look.
I mean, because you can put, like, I have, and you always have to change the freaking, I use sunblock all the time. I have vitiligo. It's important that I do that. So, but you have to change now. You know, there's the big upheaval, and you can't use the standard sunblock. You have to have it without this particular chemical in it, and so on and so forth. So now I'm on the new stuff that isn't as white as that is.
Oh.
But you can rub it in and blend it in a little bit.
Right.
It looks like he put it on with a roller.
Just painted himself.
And it just looks a little bizarre.
Yeah, thank God for the spray stuff. But Kathy's mom would tell you that that's poison. And
you're going to get anal cancer.
Yeah, no, those were two different.
Oh, yeah. You and Farrah.
But I did use some of it because we also, my wife has a Jeep, so we took the doors
off.
And the top off, and driving around in that thing is a lot of fun.
You have to if you have something like that. So let me ask you. Do you wash the block off before you go into the pool? Because I understand you're not supposed to go into the system. That's okay?
Right. I don't care.
Wait, you're not supposed to go in the pool with sunblock
I've heard that.
No, but yeah, I've heard all sorts of things. That's why you're supposed to shower before.
Yeah, that is. That's one of the reasons they do ask you to shower before. So.
That makes no sense. You're supposed You're supposed to wash off all of your sunblock, go into the water, which you know
magnifies
the sun.
And by the way, that isn't that stuff waterproof anyway?
Yeah.
Right.
Listen, technically, that's why you see those signs.
You see my conundrum?
Shower before you get in the pool. I don't know if you're necessarily supposed to scrub your body, but yeah, the sunscreen will affect. No, that's why your hot tub is like a murky mess.
No. You shower before you get in the pool. To get all the dirt and the grime off of your body.
Which would include sunscreen.
No, that's sunscreen. That's not dirt and grime.
They're chemicals.
Yeah. So that's what I've heard. I've heard that you're supposed to clean
technically.
Before you go into a pool.
But you're right. Anybody outside, obviously you need sun protection, so you're not going to scrub that off yourself.
I think I mentioned this last year, but I went on a snorkel trip in the Keys a year ago, and I was asked / forced to put on a certain type of sunscreen that's not damaging to reefs.
What did they recommend?
Well, it's like the stuff that Zuckerberg had on. It was so thick, and there was a giant pump bottle of it on the snorkel boat. It was
really?
One of those reef snorkel trips, so you just take a boat 45 minutes an hour off of shore or whatever.
Yeah, says reefer madness.
But you were basically not allowed to get into the water with the sunscreen that you had on. You had to wash that off and use the one that they provided for you.
So I assume it's like a pool thing as well. I mean,
I would
you
think
don't have
so.
Coral reefs in your pool
because it can be damaging to the filter or it can be damaging to the coral reef if you're out doing that.
That's why my pet manatee died, I think.
Oh, man.
Really? Because I kept getting in with sunblock on.
Sorry to hear that. Wow. Yeah. So, anyhow, it was a pretty funny picture that's making the rounds. I fortunately haven't had a bad burn or anything like that this year.
My friend Charlie Miles in college, nicest guy, but Preston, he had to go to if he got near the dome light of his car, he would explode into flames. Wow. So he had to go full jeans, long, and it couldn't just be like a regular UV shirt. It had to be like a thick shirt under an umbrella. I mean, it was just, that's why he just never went.
Yeah. I wear a UV shirt. I actually went into the ocean for the first time this whole summer on Saturday. It was so scorching. Yeah. It was almost not refreshing.
Good shark temperature.
Wow. Oh, God, Steve.
Is that all you're thinking about while you're out there, sharks?
Everything I touch is a monster. And, like, I'm just looking, waiting for something to just jump out in my face. I just don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It'd be great
if everything in the ocean was dead.
Yeah. Believe it or not, a couple of weeks ago, I saved a jellyfish.
What?
Actually, yeah.
You did mouth to mouth.
I did not. I couldn't find his mouth, so I was just...
Where's your goddamn mouth?
No, it's not a mouth. It's a stinger. Ow. God damn it.
I just sucked on a jellyfish's ass.
Okay. How did you save a jellyfish?
It washed up on shore. Mm-hmm. I was fairly certain it wasn't dead yet. My kids were like, I think it's dead. I'm like, well, there's one way to find out. And then I kind of scooped them up on a skim board, and then I walked them out to the ocean, and I kind of threw
them. Thank you.
You're welcome. But I assumed that if he was dead, he would just wash back up.
By the way,
he did not.
Jellyfish can sting you well after it's dead. So,
So that's why I didn't touch it.
You don't touch it, yeah.
No.
Don't do mouth to mouth.
I'm surprised.
Me too.
Yeah, that you would do that.
Dude, if it was a shark, I would have punched it in its face.
Anything that can harm you, you preferred that it die a death. And
I don't know. Jellyfish, I'm kind of okay with.
Are you scared of horseshoe crabs?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because they're cool looking, but they're a little freaky looking.
They freak me out.
Yeah. But they don't
I'm not
do anything.
Afraid of them. I know they won't hurt me, but I don't want anything.
They're prehistoric.
To do. Yeah.
They look prehistoric.
They're
shifty.
The legs on the underside, that's gross.
Yes.
Scary looking. It takes me back to? The face huggers from Alien.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Yes.
Spot on. Horseshoe crabs.
It looks like a big insect, too. It has an insect element to it.
But they don't bug me out because they don't have like pinchers.
They have the decency to cover over all that with the shell.
Yeah. But you're right, Steve. They're almost like scabies or something like that, or so, you know.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. Right?
You don't see them swimming very often, though. You mostly just see them when they're washed up on the shore.
Yeah,
they mostly are catamarans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyhow, keep in mind, use your proper sunscreen. Protect yourself from the sun. And speaking of the sun, I have these 50 surprising facts about the sun.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I do.
It seems appropriate to put things into context when you're talking about
how
hot it is outside. And you got to remember, in our solar system, it could always be worse.
You know what? And a lot of these are straight ahead things like how old the sun is, 4.5 billion years.
Dude, why wasn't it in your birthdays?
What type? what is the sun made of? Actually, Marissa, can you find a song from They Might Be Giants called Why Does the Sun Shine? I think that might be a little educational tune to play a little bit of.
I read through some of this list. I always like to have you reveal it to us on the air press. And I found it fascinating how the sun actually generates heat.
Okay, so what? Here's a question. What is the sun made of? The ball of fire is compromised of 74.9% hydrogen, 23% helium, and 2% heavier elements such as carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, iron, and neon. Hydrogen is the sun's primary fuel. How does the sun burn?
Yeah.
If there's no oxygen in space?
Right?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. The truth is, it doesn't actually burn. It converts burnt hydrogen into helium by using the carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen as catalysts. So I don't know what that means, but there you go.
It's like cooking.
Okay.
You know?
No.
No.
Nope.
You know?
Transferring heat?
It's like a convection oven.
Okay.
It's
go on.
Nick is known as Mr. Partial Science.
Yeah,
it's like cooking. Do you care to elaborate? No,
I do know that there are some things.
There's 50 of these things we got to get to. These sun facts.
I know that there are catalysts that can be used to create a chemical reaction and not really burn. And
that's what it's doing, Preston.
You can use things like that for rocket fuel, right? in the vacuum.
Let me
space.
Offer you an analogy. It's like cooking.
Okay. At the sun's core, the temperature reaches at least 27 million degrees Fahrenheit.
27 million degrees. So yeah. I have to assume it's zinc all the time when you're there.
But is that Fahrenheit or is
Fahrenheit.
That?
That's okay. Fahrenheit.
Oh, then that's hot.
It's 15 million degrees Celsius. The surface of the sun has an average temperature of 9,941 degrees.
9,000 mm-hmm. degrees on the surface of the sun.
There are six different layers. There's the core. These are the inner layers. The core, the radiative zone, and the convective zone, much like your convection oven.
Exactly.
Because it is. It's a large kitchen.
And the outer layers are the photosphere, the chromosphere, and the corona.
Isn't it amazing? There's a picture up on the screen here in the studio. As they get closer and closer to it, what's actually going on the surface is, I mean, it's a spherical hell that stays intact.
And not only that, what I find crazy is when you see images of the surface of the sun, and they will point out, say, like a solar flare, and you'll see just this tiny little ribbon pop up, and they'll say there could be 5,000 Earths inside the size of that particular little bitty mm-hmm. thing that you see pop up. That's how massive it is.
I saw a graphic last week. I think it was Derek Pitts that posted it, but it was there can be 1,000 Earths inside of Jupiter and then 1,000 Jupiters inside of the sun.
Dear God.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing, too, you know, you're talking about however millions of degrees, how fragile we are in, like, this narrow corridor of temperatures that are acceptable to humans.
Yeah.
And then this narrow corridor of where the Earth actually is. Like, if we were 5 million miles closer to the sun or 10 million miles further away from the sun.
Of all the things that had to fall into place to create a situation that fosters life the way we have it on Earth.
And we sit around and
we still have Larry the Cable Guy.
For us, 10 degree swing either way, it's like, nah, I'm hot. Yeah.
I know. I know. Once you understand that the surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees, you're like, 90's not so bad.
Right.
But when you can actually feel something, like you're actually feeling something from that far away, that is wild to me.
93 million miles away is generating this kind of heat.
And you can feel it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at all
like
these
other... Like the Jackson said, you feel it?
All these other celestial bodies, the moon, you know, all of it, you don't feel anything from those. But the sun, you can totally feel.
All right, I'm going to give you guys some more interesting and odd factoids.
We're ripping the lid off the sun, President.
About the sun that you may have not known. Ooh. So, like this, every...
The sun is a massive incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Hey.
The sun is hot, the sun is not a place where we could live, but here on Earth there'd be no life without the light it gives.
love They Might Be Giants.
Great.
So here's an interesting fact. Every second, the sun provides the energy equivalent to 10 billion nuclear bombs.
Oh, my God. 10 billion nuclear bombs.
Every second.
Every second.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 10 Fourth of July fireworks displays.
It's a lot like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. It's essentially a huge kitchen.
here we go. The sun rotates in the opposite direction to Earth and travels at 220 kilometers per second.
Where's it going?
I don't know.
It's just spinning in place.
Yeah, we're all going together. Mm-hmm. Now, this one I find interesting. The sun is the closest thing to a perfect sphere found in nature.
Wow.
Despite its size, there is only a 10-kilometer difference in its equatorial and poral diameters.
Isn't that wild?
Polar diameters, not poral. Polar diameters. That is wild. I had no idea that it is almost an absolute perfect sphere, or the closest thing to a perfect sphere.
When we had Derek Pitts on a few weeks ago, Casey, you asked him a pretty cool hypothetical question about the gas giants, you know, whether or not we could actually fly through them, you know, if given the proper protection and whatever. I wonder if you could fly through the sun.
I asked that?
No, you asked that about...
You asked about
the gas
like
giants.
Like Saturn and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You asked that, Preston?
I did.
Sorry, yeah.
That's okay.
So I thought it was a good question.
I asked that.
And I'm really glad that Casey asked it.
I thought I did.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I asked if you could land on them.
Casey asked if you could fly through them.
Yeah, I was like, can you fly through them? I think I asked that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't even know what I have for dinner.
Is that in the fun facts? Which one asked that question?
Did you make your dinner in the kitchen?
You know, it's a lot like the sun.
Okay. Let's see here. Who named the sun? Who gave the sun its name? The word sun has its origins in the old English spelling S-U-N-N-E. Sun, sunny? I don't know. In ancient Greece, the big glowing star was known as Helios. In ancient Rome, the flaming orb was called Sol. In ancient Egypt, the sun was named Ra.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep.
The sun god, right?
Yep, Ra, correct. The sun god.
Mm-hmm. There are also, by the way, another little factoid about our sun. A person weighing 75 pounds on planet Earth would weigh 2,225 pounds.
That's why the gyms do so well on the sun.
On the sun's surface. Mm-hmm.
Because everyone's looking to take off a ton or two. That's just amazing, the gravitational pull.
You think it's a dry heat on the sun?
Very dry.
It's not a heat, as he pointed out, and in many ways, if I can draw this parallel, it's like a kitchen.
Right.
By the way, speaking of the gravitational pull, when the sun and moon are pulling in the same direction, they're stretching the Earth, thus making humans microscopically taller.
What's going on?
Is that us being stretched?
Oh, my God.
It's so gross.
That sounded disgusting.
It's so terrible.
Woo! What the hell was that?
Oh, my.
You learn stuff.
We do learn stuff.
Yeah. Are we?
Let's see. The sun's volatility is contained thanks to its tremendous gravity, which keeps the eight planets of the solar system held together. We know that. It's strong enough to hold the solar system intact primarily due to the sun's size and mass. It is the largest and most massive object in the solar system. We know that. It contains about 99.86% of all the mass in our solar system.
That's amazing. Yet it, relatively speaking, it is a small...
It's a medium size.
It's a medium size.
Yes. In fact, I think it says it in the song here.
We need its light. We need its heat. The sunlight that we see. The sunlight comes from our own sun's atomic energy. The sun...
All right, and then it goes through that same thing again. But it talks about, yes, it's a medium-sized sun. Solar flares are the most violent manifestations of the sun at the peak of its solar cycle. And those are the ones that, you know, like I said,
arch out.
They're huge. They look tiny compared to the sun itself, but they're absolutely massive.
I had a telescope that had a sun filter on it where you could actually look at the sun.
Seriously?
Cool. Yeah. You could. Wow. So you would I never did it. No. I was afraid I'd burn my eyeballs out. I was scared crapless.
I just like to look at the sun.
Just stare at it.
Yeah, just stare at it. Yeah.
Right. All you have to do is you have to hold your fingers up to your eyes, and then it's
safe. Oh, I don't even do that. Then you're blocking your, you know.
Okay.
Stevie Wonder, come out. Come out. We're going to look at the sun. Yeah, man.
When we had the eclipse
a
few years ago, we had gotten from the Franklin Institute those little visors that you could look through.
Mm-hmm. They were neat.
And that was pretty cool.
You know, you can't go and watch the sunset without a pair of sunglasses. I hate when I'm like, oh, let's go, because there's a great spot down the shore.
I thought you were going to launch into a song.
No, okay. I was not. But I'm done talking. Sun is a mass of incandescent gas,
a gigantic nuclear furnace. But anyway, you go and watch the sunset and what?
And if sometimes I'll forget to bring my sunglasses. I'm like, well, you can't watch the sunset.
most beautiful sunset you've ever seen. Where?
Wow. Geez. One of the prettiest and most special sunsets we saw was in Sweden a couple of years ago. We were on this island called Gullholmen, and it was about, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And the sun doesn't go all, it goes just below, and then it comes back up shortly later. So you don't, it wasn't the midnight sun.
You actually hear like a slide whistle, don't
But it was pretty awesome because it was so late in the day and the sun was still up and it was over the ocean. So that was pretty cool.
Mine was Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah. Just gorgeous.
Or the last, we saw a couple of great sunsets in Hawaii last year. That was pretty amazing too.
Mine is still Montauk.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of places. We love sunsets. We love going and you know, sitting and watching them. And for whatever reason, there's just the most beautiful sunsets right on this little beach that we go to.
Watching the sunset over water, which you don't get many chances to do here. There is a spot, Casey, that looks over the bay that you had me stay at your cousin's house and actually saw the sun set on the water. That was pretty
cool. That's pretty great, yeah.
California, you see it set on the water. It's gorgeous.
I still, like, it's on a bucket list to watch the sun rising on the Atlantic, hop in a plane, go to California and watch the sunset on the same day.
You want to do that sometime?
No.
No, not really?
No. I totally want
to. Okay, all right.
That's something I'd like to do.
Let's see. What else do we have here? During a total solar eclipse, the human eyes can see the solar corona for a brief period.
until you go blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not supposed to look at it then, even.
Hey, I got a question. When you're taking a picture of a sunset with your camera on your iPhone, have you guys noticed a little green dot that shows up?
I did not.
You didn't?
All right. No.
I don't know what that green dot is, but it happens quite often.
When you take a picture of the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a sunset. Green dot where? In the picture?
In the picture, yeah.
I've never noticed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nick Murphy's giving me a little naughty poo.
Is that lens flare, Nick Murphy? Yeah, he's not.
Lens flare, okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. What is the exact color of the sun? What color would you say the sun is?
I'm going to say red.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah, it's not orange, yellow, or red. It's, in reality, it is white.
How about that?
According to this little factoid. But I don't know why it appears to be yellow.
Did you explain that?
Because of the atmosphere? Because of the kitchen?
Because of the metric system.
It's like a white kitchen.
Because of God.
The sun is responsible for 45% of the tidal forces generated on Earth, and the moon does the rest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a red rainbow last week posted on social media, and it was because it set... the sun was setting, and the way that the rainbow was refracting, the light from the rainbow was refracting towards the person who was in a boat when they saw it. None of the other colors of the rainbow came through. Only the...
Double rainbow.
Only the red.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome. Casey, here's an answer to the green dot.
Okay.
In photos. In most cases, this is according to a source we found online... the green spot, haze, or flare will happen when taking a photo with a strong source of light in the background. The problem is due to the light coming in at a specific angle and reflecting off the surface of the inside of the camera or the lens cover.
Okay. So. Yeah, I was taking a picture of a sunset last summer in Utah, and I was trying to get that particular green dot in a part of the picture that would be absorbed by something else, if that even makes any sort of sense.
Yep.
And because it was kind
of... Honey, dress as a leprechaun.
It was ruining the photo.
You can get
pretty great photos with your iPhone. It's amazing how good they are. But if you really want to get something with lighting like that, you need an actual camera, you know, for like a sun or even stars or the moon or whatever. The iPhone will only get you so far.
And now I have another question, but it's not for this.
About Harry Chapin.
It is not about Harry Chapin, and it's not about the sun.
Okay.
It is space.
Do we feel like going in a direction?
I think we do.
Let's go. I'm running out of facts here.
Okay. Well, I had a question about when you're, let's say, in an area that you have really good night sky, and you could potentially get a picture of the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So when I was in the Grand Canyon, I couldn't see the Milky Way, but if you were taking a picture of it, you would have to do like a longer exposure.
Right.
Okay.
Why is that?
The amount of light coming through the lens. Like, it has to do with f-stops.
How long of an exposure are we talking about? Is it like...
It depends on the camera and depends on how much light you want to come through. I'm totally an amateur when it comes to this type of thing, but my girlfriend's pretty good at it, but she will not use...
Are we talking a second or two, or are we talking
it
about...
It depends. I mean, you can do it longer than a few seconds, but you can. You're probably never going to get a photo that you want with your phone. You're going to need to use a camera.
iPhone will allow, though, allows... At least the mega one, the maxed out camera, will allow you to adjust f-stop, I believe.
Okay.
Okay. Or digital f-stop.
So it's how long it exposes the element inside the wood. You know, the
kitchen.
The kitchen.
Yeah.
It's like when you open the door on the kitchen and let some sunlight.
All right. I didn't fully understand the amount of exposure you needed. I didn't know if I was like, okay.
You're gonna have to research that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what it also has to do with, and we can get back to sun facts, but the amount of like ambient light on the horizon. So if you're out in the middle of nowhere with, you know, if there's a full moon, you know.
So the best part was when we were there, there was no moon. And there was no ambient light in the horizon. We were in the bottom of a canyon. You know what I mean? So it was great elements. But you know, I didn't just because of the pictures that I've seen of the Milky Way. I'm like, that's what I was expecting to see with my own eye, and I wasn't able to see that.
Did you get lost and discover an Indian boy?
No. That was
it was the Braves.
Bobby and Cindy, if you recall.
they were the ones.
Bobby. That's right.
I love that we have those at the ready anytime that we need a Bobby or Cindy.
Cindy! Bobby!
Chief Taka, how do I get the proper f-stop to take a picture of the solar system?
Did he tell the Brady kids?
Oh, he told, yeah.
Yeah.
Requires much diligence.
All right, may I ask, was the episode where they go to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
That was a two-parter.
Yes.
Was it also when they got stuck in the ghost town?
Yes.
Okay.
The ghost town occurs before they make it to the Grand Canyon.
Yes. Is it the same trip?
They got stuck in a jail cell.
What a terrible trip.
Because of a miner, a prospector.
And the Bradys had to take their belts off and link them together to get the keys, if I remember correctly, right?
I think you're right. And Mr. Howell was the prospector.
From Gilligan's Island?
Yes.
Wow.
He thought they were trying to jump his claim.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. I had it in the back of my mind that those two episodes were part one and the same.
When they're in that jail, a sexual assault takes place.
Wow.
No.
On Alice.
I did not know that.
Oh, my God.
Who drew the short straw?
All right.
It was a powerful episode. A lot of people think it's sort of a frivolous thing, but they had some uncomfortable conversations.
Okay. All right. We're watching video of this right now. Yeah. So, okay. The two-parter. Yeah, this and the Hawaii episode were the big two-parters, Grand Canyon and Hawaii.
Right.
Did they ever have any other two-parters?
They did. I don't know if it was a two-parter. They went to, I think it was an amusement park where they lose the blueprints on a ride.
Wow. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that might have been just one, but I thought it was a two-parter. They had a couple. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Brady Bunch in the jail cell.
Why did he lock him in there again?
Because they thought they were jumping his claim. He's a prospector.
Mm-hmm.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. All right. Any other sun facts you guys want to know, or should we just wrap it up there?
I think those are pretty good. It should make you feel better about the 92, 93 degrees to know that the surface of the sun is 9,000 degrees, and the core of the sun is, what'd you say,
27 million.
27 million.
27 million. So it cools off a bit by the time it gets here. All right.
Kath, have you been running outside in this heat? I know you like to run.
Not in the past couple of days. I mean, I work out outside every day, but not specific running.
Okay. Yeah, probably a good idea to pull back on that right now if you're doing the outdoor
or go activities. early in the morning.
Yes, true. Yeah. All right, listen, stay cool. And in fact, we can help you do that. We have the Preston Steve Cooling Caravan with Duncan. Can come to your outdoor work site on Thursday. The deadline to get signed up for that is today at 11 a.m. So you can go to WMMR.com, click on contest, and do that very thing. We're going to take a break. We're going to get back. We're going to do the Bizarre File. And I believe we also have a show announcement.
Yes!
We'll get you the details of that when we return. Stay with us.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear. Available now in the MMR Rock Shop.
Like t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops.
With designs from retro MMR logos to the latest from the Preston and Steve Show branded hats and tops. For guys and gals, all with the MMR attitude you expect.
Plus a few things to keep your pie hole happy, like coffee mugs and masks.
Search the word shop at WMMR.com and get shopping. Stuff for you, gifts for them. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your wardrobe.
Here's what I want to do. I'm going to mention something now. We're going to do the Bizarre File, then we're going to come back after that, and we're going to announce a show with some details. Actually, multiple shows, believe it or not. But this first bit of information is sad news, and I want to pass my well wishes on to my friend. Someone passed away yesterday, Lorenzo Pulizzi.
Yeah.
My friend and neighbor Joe's father,
no
Lorenzo, who brought you Lorenzo's Pizza.
Oh my God.
On South Street. He had been in declining health, and you know, we've been in touch with Joe this whole time, and unfortunately we found out yesterday. And they're my neighbors. Lorenzo lived two houses down from me.
How old?
In his 90s. Okay. And but he's the guy. He's the dude who opened up Lorenzo's on South Street. Those gigantic slices of pizza.
Wow.
Joe eventually took over. Giuseppe is his name. And I just want to, you know, send our well wishes to him and his family. And you know, his dad certainly made a mark in this city. And and the name continues to go on and will go on, and Joe's expanding the brand and everything. So, you know, that thing, that little shop that he started is going to carry on, and people love it here in Philadelphia, you know?
I talk to Dr. Mike about this all the time. If you can leave this mortal coil and have done something that people remember and derived joy from, and you know, that the pleasure of just the good food and all that stuff, You did a good job. You know, that's what we all, I think, want to strive for. So he did it.
And there's been this really tight relationship with WMMR and Lorenzo's for ages. Joe would never allow any radio station but MMR to be played in Lorenzo's. And there's a big mural, an MMR painting that we all signed that's up there. And he made sure that he hung it up, and you can see us in the Wells Fargo Center and at Xfinity Live, and make sure that there was an MMR presence. And it was before even I got to know him, which is, you know, it's a very cool thing for him. So for he and the Pulizzi family, we send our heartfelt condolences. And I just wanted to pass it. But a legend in Philadelphia.
Joe's such a great guy. Man. That's awful.
He's the best. All right. So let's do the B file, and then we're going to get to this announcement. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it is brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. You can place your order at cinch.com. Well, a Florida man punched his brother's pregnant girlfriend on Sunday in St. Petersburg during their gender reveal party.
Okay.
Marshall Richardson was arrested and faces a charge of aggravated battery. Richardson was attending the gender reveal party of the victim, who was 6 months pregnant with the baby of Richardson's brother. During the party, Richardson told people to stop smoking near children at the party. Okay, so that's a good thing, right?
That is a good thing.
It starts off with this guy trying to do a good
thing.
Well, the victim became upset and called the defendant names, the police report said. Per the victim, the defendant got into a fight with his brother. While the two were being separated, the victim again called him a name, and he turned towards her and punched her in the face.
Mm.
So here's the guy that doesn't want kids people smoking around the kids, but he punches
her in the face. So is that actually part of the reveal? Like if his hand came back and it was red, boy, if his hand came back and it was blue, girl.
Be the other way around, but yeah, possibly, yeah. Several people witnessed the punch, the report said, and the victim had minor redness to her left cheek and jawline.
That's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah. I saw an interesting term over the weekend, and we're seeing more and more of these mask stories, and the term mask hole was one that I heard, and I like that. So here's a mask hole story for you. In Louisiana, on the very first day of required masks at the West Monroe Walmart, a man, enraged about being asked to leave, bumped a police officer with his car twice in a temper tantrum that may see him locked up for some time. Rick Taylor has been arrested after the officer told Taylor that all customers are now required to wear masks and offered him a mask to wear. Taylor did his best Twitter impersonation by apparently shrieking, "You can't make me wear an effing mask," in a propane tirade at the cop. They were inside the store at the time. The police officer said that he was told him that he was now officially trespassing and would have to leave. Taylor refused to give his driver's license to the officer, and the confrontation moved outside where Taylor got into his vehicle. The officer who had followed him to his vehicle was reporting the vehicle's license plate number to dispatch when Taylor, like a genius, backed his vehicle up and struck him two different times. Not hard enough to knock him down over, not to knock him over, but it was fully intentional. So he's since been arrested, and dude's in a lot of trouble now. Two men who fought about payment for leaks were arrested and charged with assault and domestic violence. And by leaks, I mean the vegetable. Like
really?
The giant, yes, onion type of
vegetable. Is this
vegetable.
Part of a gender reveal?
No.
Oh.
Gene Crandall is accused of assaulting and strangling 29-year-old Martin Schaefer. The altercation allegedly occurred
over leaks
when Schaefer confronted Crandall about what he believed to be unfair payment for his work collecting leaks. Crandall is suspected of punching and choking Schaefer during the confrontation.
I think the time has come to strangle you.
Crandall told police that Schaefer struck him first. Both are now facing charges. A woman who lives in a residence with Crandall and Schaefer sprayed the man with a hose to break up the fight.
They were fighting over leaks.
So she got him with the hose.
I heard the one first fella goes, "You didn't pay me enough for the leaks."
Crandall then fled the scene on foot.
The second fella strangled him.
And Schaefer called police. Police used a canine unit to track down Crandall. Both Crandall and Schaefer were arrested. Crandall is charged with one count of assault with intent to do great bodily harm, a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and one count of domestic violence. And Schaefer is charged with one count of domestic violence.
I lost my husband to violence associated with rutabagas.
The support group?
Yeah. Brought back bad memories.
Boy, leeks and rutabagas.
Yeah.
Those are two.
People get hot-headed about
that
stuff.
You can get very passionate about those.
I don't even know what a rutabaga looks like.
It looks like a kitchen?
No, it does not. It's kind of a large purplish-white.
Sounds like it would be purple.
Orb, if you will. All right.
Sounds like it would be purple?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why.
That's very discriminatory.
Maybe you're getting a tiff over yams later on today. We'll see. A rare Ferrari F40 worth more than $2 million crashed during a test drive in Queensland, Australia on Friday. Police said the exotic car took out several poles in a dramatic collision. A police spokesman said the occupants were not injured in the crash. And I keep thinking about rutabagas. And that the driver has not yet been charged with any offenses.
This goes to the point that we've said many times. You think I know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Get behind the wheel of one of these high-performance vehicles, and you will be shocked at how different it is.
Photos of the crash have been published on social media, including Twitter and Facebook. The car involved appears to be a Ferrari F40 worth more than $2 million. The twin turbocharged machine was wearing a temporary dealership plate used for test drives. Two examples of the rare machine are currently listed for sale in Australia. One in Sydney for $2.3 million and one in Brisbane for $2.7 million. And less than two dozen examples of the car are kept in the entire country. So they're rare. How about this? Here's another story out of Australia. A shark grabbed a 10-year-old boy from a fishing boat off Australia Friday and swam off after his father jumped in to save him.
From the boat case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The boy was taken to the hospital in stable condition with cuts to his arm, chest, and head as well after the attack off the coast of the island, a state of Tasmania.
The full story is Preston. The shark pulled itself up on deck, found a crewman's outfit, made his way up to the second deck, posing as one of the staff, then saw the boy, took him to the edge, and then jumped off with him.
Wow, there's a lot more details.
Yeah,
the story
I figured you probably didn't have that part of the story. We even put on a fake mustache.
The child was...
Say, you look a lot...
You're very toothy.
The child was wearing a life vest as he accompanied his father and two other men fishing 3 miles from shore when the shark grabbed him off the boat.
What a nightmare.
Australia has one of the world's highest incidences of shark attacks, and there have been 5 fatal maulings in the country so far this year. Wow.
I would rather live on the surface of the sun
than Australia. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah!
We got announcements. We have several of them, actually. And I'll start with the title because this is all under the same umbrella, but different shows. WMMR and Live Nation are proud to present to you the Live-In Drive-In Concert Series, people! Now, what does that mean? The Live-In Drive... It doesn't mean Bush is going to be playing there, but we need some exciting music anyway. So these are shows that are going to take place in the parking lot at Citizens Bank Park, allowing you to enjoy it from the comfort of your own vehicle. Now, there are 3 shows that I'm going to announce, and we'll start with the first one. This is kicking off August 16th. The Preston and Steve Show presents... Burt Kreischer. Yeah! Burt Kreischer in concert August 16th. And you know what's wonderful is that Burt has done a number of these shows already, so he knows how the formula works.
He's big. He's the kind of guy who can do it, Preston.
He's already tested it out and has found a way to make this work, so he's going to know what he's doing, and that's going to be fantastic. So, Burt Kreischer, August 16th. I'm going to get you the on-sale details of all these in just a moment. Now, the show after that will be August 22nd. WMMR presents The Struts!
Yeah!
So The Struts will be at Citizens Bank Park in the parking lot, performing while you are in your car. And of course, they're about as big and as high energy as you can get.
Safe to say the Burt Kreischer of rock.
I think it's safe to say that. Big and outrageous and fun.
Yes.
All those things. So, The Struts, August 22nd. And then, performing on September 3rd, our friends in Shinedown will be performing. Now, Shinedown will be doing an acoustic performance. They're actually going to be called Smith & Myers.
Smith & Myers.
So this will be September 3rd. And once again, all of these shows taking place in the parking lot at Citizens Bank Park. You will be in your own car and enjoying it safely. Now, tickets will go on sale for all of these shows this Friday at 10 a.m. And the way it's going to work is each car... will purchase 1 ticket, which is good for a maximum of 4 people per car. And we have a list of do's and don'ts at WMMR.com if you like. Each space is approximately 17 feet wide, 17 feet deep. And it will your space will be divided into 2 areas. One will be utilized as a parking space for your vehicle. The second as a socially distanced space between your party and the next that the staff on site will identify upon your arrival. And Marissa was saying that they're working on possibly having some vending that's available there, so you might be able to buy food and beverages, meaning alcoholic beverages, if they get it all worked out.
So if from the get-go, you kind of follow the way the progression is going to go and how they want you to do it, this could mean more of this stuff. As we start to return to whatever we're going to return to, this is cool.
Yeah. So you'll be able to listen to the show on your radio. There'll be a special frequency that is dedicated to the show. So use your own car sound system to hear the show, which is pretty awesome. So once again, I'll roll down those dates real quick and the on sale. It will be at Citizens Bank Park in the parking lot. It's called the Live-In Drive-In Concert Series with WMMR and Live Nation. The Preston and Steve Show present Burt Kreischer August 16th. WMMR presents The Struts August 22nd. And then Shinedown acoustically as Smith & Myers September 3rd. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of live music in Philadelphia.
For Christ's sake!
And we are excited about it. Details at WMMR.com. It's all good, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If you're just tuning in, we made these live show announcements, concert announcements, and it's a thing called the Live-In Drive-In Concert Series. It's with MMR and Live Nation. It's going to be in the parking lot, Citizens Bank Park. You get to go in and sit in your car, and you'll hear the audio on your radio. There'll be a designated FM signal you'll be able to tune into. And three shows announced. August 16th, the Preston and Steve Show present our friend Bert Kreischer in concert. Yeah. Then MMR presents The Struts on August 22nd and Shinedown Acoustically as Smith & Myers September 3rd. And tickets for all those shows go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. And each car will purchase one ticket, which is good for a maximum four people per car.
So. And you get kind of a little, like, tracked, a little lot, so to speak.
Yeah,
a little mini lot.
So there's plenty of space between the cars. It's not like you're pulling in just regular parking spots.
Right.
They're more spacious. They're 17 feet deep and 17 feet wide. You're not going to get out and meander around.
No.
But you do have some space, which is pretty cool. So that's a great sign. That's a really good sign.
Yeah.
I'm happy that that's going to be happening. Disney World. I saw this interesting story over the weekend how, you know, they've opened up to a limited group or a limited number.
Five a day.
No, it's a little more than
okay.
five. But they also had some announcements. First came the confirmation that two announced attractions at Epcot are now postponed. The redesigned Spaceship Earth and a new Mary Poppins attraction. So they postponed that.
So the Spaceship Earth has been around or was one in the works? I've not been to Disney World and I have not been to Epcot.
Yeah, Spaceship Earth has been around for a while. Spaceship Earth is that big globe.
Yeah. What happens in there?
I don't know. I never went in there. Casey and I went to Epcot and hit a couple of rides, but we didn't go do that because, like, the lines and the wait time was way too long.
What do we do, Soarin'?
We did that. No, we didn't test do Soarin'. You told me about... We did that stupid test track ride. That was a waste of freaking time, man.
But we got good ice cream.
We got good ice cream.
Yeah, but the ride itself sucked?
Yeah.
And what is it? Is it just... What is the test track? What do you do on it?
It's a... You go in... Now, one thing I have to give to Disney that they have learned how to distract you properly while you're waiting in line.
And that's essential.
So for this, they give you something to do. You get to custom make your own car that you're going to ride in. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
But it does kill the time.
Big freaking deal!
So you go up... You go to these... these terminals and you fill out what attributes of the car you want. Steven, essentially they put you in this vehicle that's on a track and it's like a, you know, it's like a roller coaster car that you sit in and it zooms you around, but it's not nearly as exciting as a roller coaster, as an actual roller coaster.
Right,
It kind of goes fast at one point and everything. So I thought it was kind of a waste of time.
Well, and the other thing is you spend all this time building a car, Steve, and then you just kind of get in the car that you...
This is not the car that I built!
Yeah.
Why would you even waste the time?
Yeah. I think that was Test Track, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that's
the one.
So that... But Epcot 2 and the Mary Poppins thing, when's the projected date of completion on that?
That I don't know. But they did announce at Magic Kingdom. So let's see here. They... a couple of attractions are permanently closed now. So this was the big announcement. So gone are, let's see here, the Primeval Whirl and Rivers of Light at Animal Kingdom are gone now. as is Stitch's Great Escape.
Stitches?
At Magic, yeah, Magic
From Kingdom. Lilo and Stitch?
Correct, yes. And this particular article I read, this person says it officially ends the life of what may be the worst attraction in the park's history, Stitch's Great Escape.
I was never even heard of it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know this ride at all.
No,
and
me
so
neither.
I was curious.
Oh, is it from Lilo and Stitch?
I just said that.
Sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was doing something else.
Okay. What are you doing?
I was looking up stuff for Epcot. Sorry.
All right. Anyhow.
Oh, my God.
Whatever,
you mean
man.
Lilo and Stitch?
Lilo and Stitch. All right. I actually did do that ride.
You did?
Yeah. It's lame.
All right. It's a, yeah. What type of ride is it? What is it?
From what I recall, it's like one of those animatronic, like you just kind of like ride through and.
It looks slightly like some holograms here, Case.
Yeah, there was another one they brought back, the Moonwalker thingy.
Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson. It was like kind of like, hey, retro, hey, see what we
how
did
was,
in the
how
80s.
Was the Misery ride where they break your ankles?
That was very painful.
The Hobbler.
Yeah, the Hobbler,
what they call
yeah.
That. Yeah.
You bet on the Hobbler?
So here's the question that I have. So Stitch's Great Escape replaced the somewhat controversial extraterrestrial alien encounter in 2004, and I had heard, and this is one of the reasons I brought this up, is I had heard that that particular ride was terrifying.
Really?
The extraterrestrial alien encounter. I had spoken to people who had been on it, and I don't think I was ever there when the ride was available. I don't know that I would have done it because I don't really like scary.
It wasn't E.T.
stuff.
Based, right? That,
No. It was
I'm
like,
gonna rip your ass up.
No, it was like Alien, like the movie Alien.
So that you're in like corridors and you got like face huggers and
all I know
proximity
it was,
detectors.
It was like a sensory overload.
Look at this text
thing here. It says Stitch's Great Escape used to be Alien Encounter, and they ruined it by changing it to Stitch. Alien Encounter was unbelievably scary. Kids would come off
traumatized
from it. Steve, yeah, from what I understood is they, you know, you put headphones on. It was like virtual reality.
Yes. And you're walking?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
But I do know that at one point it felt as if the alien was actually behind you, breathing on you or something like that. You
know, I would like that.
One of those 4D type things.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're in sort of a, like aliens. You're going through the corridors and you're being trailed and hunted.
I think.
As a kid, it doesn't
anally
take much.
Anally probed?
No, not at Disney World.
Of course at Disney World.
Okay. I did the 20,000 Leagues Under Sea ride when I was, I was like 3 or 4 years old. And at the end, like a big octopus comes and grabs the...
Did it scare you?
It scared the hell out of me.
I did that at Disneyland, and I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
You should see all the texts coming in about this alien adventure.
Really?
Yeah, it says my mom peed herself on Alien Encounter. rode the Alien Encounter ride when we were testing it, and it was terrifying. Adults were crying.
Come on.
Look at it. What?
Crying, though?
All right, well, let me...
You were crying on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
But no, I was a kid. They're saying adults.
Okay. Let me go to Colin. Hey, Colin, good morning.
Yeah, what up, guys? Monkey pick ass.
Monkey pick ass to you, sir.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, so Alien Encounter, which was... used to be Stitch Great Escape or whatever.
Yep.
They actually moved it to Stitch because kids were getting too scared. So it was like, it's like a tube, and they have the character in it, the animatronic character, and they have this big alien-looking thing, almost like the movies.
Okay.
From the Aliens movies, and you sit in a seat, and it has like alien, the alien breaks out of the tube and has like breath coming on you and like tentacles hitting the back of your neck or on your feet. And kids were like freaking out. So they had to try to make it a little bit more kid friendly.
So was the structure of the ride like you've got on board an alien ship and then you end up in, I mean, you know, or is that the one point where you got scared? Were there multiple points where the little vignettes that scared the hell out of you, or was that the money shot?
Well, it was like a room, so it wasn't really a ride. It was a room that you sit in, and the tube's like, the alien tube is in like the middle.
All right.
I didn't find it very scary. I thought it was pretty damn cool.
All right. Thanks, Colin. I appreciate it. Let me go to somebody who did find it scary. I'm going to go to Jen. Hi, Jen. You're on the air.
Oh, my God. I'm still traumatized.
Jen is still effed up from Alien Encounter.
How old were you when you wrote it, Jen?
I was 14 years old. I was like...
teenager. First of all, real quick, Michael Jackson ride, or the Michael Jackson movie, was Captain EO, and it was amazing, and I loved it.
Captain EO.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay. Yeah, Angelica Houston was in that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, she sang the theme song. But, right. Yeah, it was... So with Alien Encounter, you know, you walk in and they show you how to move an alien, and they have this cute little pink fluffy alien, and they're like, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, they this is how you move it from here to there. And then you go into this big room and you're harnessed down. You can't move. So you know how like you go on a roller coaster and you get the shoulder pads harnessed down and you can't move?
Yeah.
You're like that for 9 minutes when the alien quote unquote breaks out. It's complete darkness, and then you feel, like, the breath. You hear the noise. I'm getting, like, freaked out just thinking about
Hey, Jen, did you have any, like, a headset on, or what was... Okay.
No headset, no. So you, it was, like, tiered seating, so you had, like, three circles. It was almost like, think of it like I was in the round. So in the middle is this big tube with, like, the Colin said earlier, you know, this alien-looking thing, and then all of a sudden, like, you got this big whoosh of air, and it sounds like glass is breaking, and you hear the people freaking out, like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? And then all of a sudden...
I had three testicles!
Oh, no! Oh, no!
Get away!
Oh, my God!
I had three testicles!
It's an alien with three testicles!
But, like, you're just sitting there, and then all of a sudden you hear it right behind you on your neck. And you, that's when I like lost it. I was like, oh no, oh God, oh God. And yeah. I was one of those kids coming out, like saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, because I remember when this ride was around and people saying that they overshot a bit much for the Disney crowd.
It, you know what? It was crazy. And then I did go on Stitch's Great Escape, and then I was like, okay. Nothing can be any scary. I get off the ride. I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So bad.
So the reimagining of it was really bad. So they muted it down so much that it just became a crappy ride.
They did. I mean, I think that they were trying to make up for the fact that they scared the crap out of like 90% of the kids. So they're like, we're just going to put Stitch there.
I appreciate that they went for it, though.
Thanks,
a little
Jen.
Bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have hated a ride like that. It would, you know, I hate scary stuff.
But so did you ever do the Haunted Mansion?
I did.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
It's ghosts.
It's very kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's very light. Hang on a second. Let me go to Jenna. Hey, Jenna, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Hi. Bitches.
Hey, what? So you went on the extraterrestrial?
Yes. And as soon as I heard you guys talking about Stitch's Great Escape, I knew you would talk about how terrifying this ride was.
Yeah.
I went to Disney World when I was 10. My grandma, who was 80-something at the time, she went with us. She loved the ride. She was laughing the whole time. I was screaming my head off. It was around the time that Independence Day came out.
Right.
So it reminds you of that whole scene when the alien is stuck and he takes the scientist and everything like that. It reminded me exactly like that. I remember the breath on my neck, everything.
Everyone talks about that. Did you feel that? So did they have like flopping tentacles and stuff hitting against you?
Not against us, but it was against, like the last caller said, the tube in the middle.
Okay.
So
all right.
It was around that. But
that's
when
cool.
You're 10 years old and your biggest thing is, you know, trying to go see Belle and all this stuff. It was, they definitely overshot it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
That's like having Truman Capote's In Cold Blood World.
Right. Right. Not exactly for the Disney crowd. But entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's how they hang someone.
Let me see here. Let me go to David. Hi, David. Good morning.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up, bud?
Everybody is missing this one big aspect of that thing that scares the crap out of everybody.
Okay.
When the tube breaks in the middle,
all
the lights go out, where someone said, but then from the seat in front of you, there is mist and a blast of air. And I was no older than 6. From that point on, I didn't move a muscle. I was petrified to my seat.
I'll bet. Yeah, that's...
It just scares the crap out of you.
So they took that, Steve, they took that 4D
yeah.
Model and used... you know, clearly. Mist and stuff like that, and they really went for it.
It was probably one of the first times they did something like that. It never works out, though. You were just talking about they're modding up the whatever ride it is, and they're doing the princess. This is at Disneyland, I believe. Princess and the Frog. So they're turning. They're taking.
Yeah, yeah. They're taking the yeah. It's that roller coaster,
right?
The train,
Splash Mountain, or
whatever? Splash Mountain. Yeah,
right. And when they sort of change the build a new one, just scrap it. It never works out when you mod an old ride into a different one.
But this particular article talks about Stitch's Great Escape and says literally painful due to constant spinning that could make you dizzy to the point of vomitous, and the ride vehicle slammed in a corner so hard you could potentially walk away with bruises. Nothing has been officially announced to replace any of these closed attractions, though a Wreck-It Ralph themed attraction has been the main rumor surrounding the future of the Stitch's Great Escape space. So they might consider doing that.
I tell you what, I mean, I want to go to Disney World. Absolutely. I'll wait till obviously a lot more of this tamps down and we get back to more business as usual sort of stuff. But I agree that Universal, man, Universal was...
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
My buddy Will told me about something he experienced that they no longer have at Disney. He said it was one of the coolest things he had ever gone to. And I think it was called the Adventurers Club. And it was at, Casey, what was that area where we went to see Deadpool? Disney Institute?
Well, now it's called Disney Springs.
But it used to be Disney Institute, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, anyhow.
Yeah. Whatever.
But it was a live actor thing where all these adventurers came in and told you the tales of their adventures. And he said it was one of the most fun attractions he's ever been to, but they don't do it anymore. I'm going to go to Eric. Hi, Eric. Good morning.
Eric! Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. What was that, Casey? That was,
Eric!
Okay.
Billy Madison?
Yeah. It's Billy Madison. Movies. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Alien ride.
Yeah.
My parents decided to take me in there when I was about 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scariest experiences of my life, especially when all the lights went out, the guy comes from up above and says, "Don't worry, it's going to be fine." And it's not fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been given the guarantee that everything's going to be okay.
You really think that's the case?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so were you just absolutely livid?
I was trying to get out of the straps. My dad had one hand on me as I was trying to snake myself out of the seat.
See, I think this is why I don't like haunted houses, because I had a little kid experience like Eric did.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
My sister told me we were going into the fun house. It was the haunted house.
Man.
This isn't fun.
Yeah.
And I haven't liked haunted houses since.
You don't do them.
I don't.
It just scarred you.
Yeah.
I remember at Disneyland years ago, and I forget what the ride was, but it was basically you saw people going in. Basically, you're being shrunk down is the idea. So you would be in line. And if somebody knows what this ride is, please let me know. And you'd see the line go in, and then you'd see over like a hypodermic. And they had small dolls that sort of looked like a general group of people, like in the line. And there was a kid. I knew it was fake, but I remember clearly a kid in front of me had a full-blown seizure. He was sure they were being shrunk down. And I guarantee you, that kid became like you.
Where was this?
This was Disneyland.
Okay.
California.
Okay.
This had to be, this is decades ago, but you'd see people going in, and to the kid, it would look like, oh my God, they're shrinking us.
Right. I love it. I'm going to go to Stacy. Hi, Stacy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Stace. What's up?
I went on that ride as an adult. I was 30, and I still shudder when you mention it.
No kidding.
It was frightening. They have the mist coming behind you, and you weren't wearing headphones, but they had speakers in the headset, so you had like sound in each
okay
ear.
so in the unit that you were sitting in, it had speakers, so it's surrounding you.
Yes.
Okay.
It was like surround sound.
Okay.
And you had the mist in front of you, there was mist behind you, and it was pitch black. If you held your hand up in front of your face, you couldn't see it.
Wow.
So it clearly is a case that the designers overshot, correct? I mean, if you're
definitely, that did not belong in the Magic Kingdom.
If you're 30 and you're scared crapless, it's probably not appropriate for kids.
No, I would have never. I mean, that as a 30-year-old, that ride scared me to death.
Did they indicate that it was a scary ride before you went on it, Stacey?
No, I had no idea.
And therein lies the problem.
When I went back and it was the Lilo ride, I still wouldn't go on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just for the bad memories it would elicit.
It's in the same building. I'm not going anywhere near that thing.
As you mentioned it, it brought the entire thing straight back.
Wow. I had never heard of this horrific, nightmarish ride.
Yeah, I remember people telling me about it. They're like, you will not believe how terrifying this thing is.
Steve, was the one you were talking about called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies?
It would have predated that.
Okay.
That, I remember that one, Nick, and that's kind of a, well, maybe it's not the same one. That's kind of a 4D theater. Okay. Type of ride.
Yeah.
How about the audience? Fantastic Voyage? Somebody texted that in as a possibility?
Possibly.
Based
yeah.
on that movie?
Yeah. It was really, I was a kid. So okay. We're talking turn of the 19th century.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see here. Here's the part we're leaving out. I'm going to go to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Good morning.
That ride was the worst.
Okay.
So not only all that, but at one point the technician, it goes black and then you hear the technician getting mauled by the alien, you get hit with what's supposed to be blood. And then you look up in the ceiling, and it looks like flashlights, and the people are like, don't worry, it's okay. But you're thinking, like, holy, this ride really broke down. There's an actual alien eating this food. And we left there. There were two kids crying. One wet their pants. I was terrified, and I'm a bigger guy. I was terrified. My daughter at the time was holding on. It ruined that. I mean, we went back to the hotel. It ruined the day.
Hey, I've seen a few texts coming in saying that was the end of the day for people,
no.
Steve. Not that it was late in the day itself. I mean, just like, we're done.
They were emotionally devastated.
Yeah, there was no happy magic after that. It
was, there's no happy, no magic.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Oh, my God.
All right, thanks, Steve. I wonder how they probably had enough complaints that they had to get rid of it. You know?
Yes, if you have this, just in general,
yeah.
This amount of response and all bad, one guy said he liked it.
And they went in the complete opposite direction with Stitch, you know? They, like, tamped it down to something really tame and apparently really lame.
By the way, Steve, some people are mentioning Adventures Through Inner Space.
That might be it.
That might have been the ride you're talking about. Where they shrunk people.
Yes.
Is this a picture of it?
Yes.
Yeah, Adventure Through Inner Space.
Yeah.
In tomorrow.
And so you go up and you see that thing. It looks like kind of like a hypodermic.
Yeah.
And in that clear tube, you'd see little people going into the thing. And, oh, my God.
Let me go.
What are they doing to us?
Let me go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Good morning.
Hey, am I on the radio?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yes. What's up, Kev?
Okay, well, let's make a correction here. There was warning signs everywhere before you got on this.
Oh.
I've never seen inside of Disney lightning bolts. They had lightning bolts. Highly recommended, nobody under 13.
Okay.
My daughter was 7. My son was 14. She flipped out because I was going to take him in. So we went in. We went on the ride. And I have a souvenir from Disney for the rest of my life because she punctured my arm with her fingernails.
Oh, what?
And I had scars in my arm.
You still have scars ride. From that ride?
I have little marks on my right arm where she...
Oh, my God.
Wow. Does she remember it?
Pardon?
Does she remember it?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And then to finish it off, when the ride was over and we got out in the sunlight, there was a kid screaming. He was in hysterics. And his mother finally had to slap him to bring him out of it.
Oh, my God.
That's how bad this ride was. So directly after that, my son said, I want to go back on. So we went back on, obviously knowing what was going to happen.
Right.
Everybody's flipping out and screaming, and we're laughing like heck.
That probably would be the way to do it. Is going through it a second time, you know what to expect, and then you can get a kick out of everybody else freaking out.
Exactly.
Wow. to that Kevin. Point, what's the most terrifying ride you've ever been on?
Terrifying like that?
Yeah.
As in scary, not a thrill ride.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, I don't go on scary rides.
Right.
I don't do these. So we went to Universal in California a few years ago. And I had been watching The Walking Dead at the time.
Right, yeah.
So they had a Walking Dead ride.
Right.
I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll go for it. And I actually did enjoy that because okay. I had been watching The Walking Dead and I kind of knew what to expect. But they had, it was kind of interesting because they had live actors in there too. I mean, oh, the zombies were live actors, but they also had, you know, in The Walking Dead, it's not just the zombies. It's
right.
It's other groups of people that you got to be aware of. There was a dude in there with a shotgun, fired that thing off, and he was like a hillbilly.
Oh, my
God. Get out of here. You know, and I was like, wow. I'm like, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But he was doing that to move people along.
Right,
and
yeah.
Kind of, but that was kind of freaky because there were times where they were all around you, where they just completely surrounded you.
The thrill rides are amazing, and the Universal rides, like the King Kong ride or the all the Harry Potter stuff is amazing. But one that where I actually felt like, okay, is this adjusted properly, was the Backdraft ride at Universal in California.
The heat?
It was so effing hot.
Yeah. And the floor drops.
The floor,
point.
Yeah. And, yeah. You're, and I mean, when they would set off those flames, you're like,
ha, ha, ha. You guys got sprinklers?
Yeah. Was there a ride called Hellhole? It was basically just the Gravitron.
There was a song from Spinal Tap called Hellhole. I know that.
No, there was, and I want to say it was at Hershey Park, but if it wasn't Hershey, it was...
Hellhole?
I don't think Hershey had something called Hellhole.
Right, Kath? Maybe it was a Dorney?
Suckhole.
Yeah. No. Ass Muncher.
No.
Dipstick.
Hellhole Ghost Ride of Coney Island.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I want to say that I went on a ride called the Hellhole.
There's Ass Reamer at Sesame Place.
Sesame does not have
Ass Reamer. No.
Sesame does not have that.
Are you sure?
Positive.
The Ass Reamer?
It's very moist and hairy.
They don't have that.
Well. But what was Hellhole like?
I mean, it was basically just a Gravitron, and I never really thought anything of it until this conversation right now that they would actually call something Hellhole.
Well,
because even as a child, it wasn't like, oh my God.
Coney Island has always been about, though, that funhouse vibe.
Right. Yeah.
So those things are always
sideshows.
I never went to Coney Island. I went on this ride.
What about the Wildwood case? A lot of people are texting that in. That there was one of Maury's peers. There was a Dante's Inferno, Hellhole.
No.
Colonoscopy.
Right, so when you go to a carnival, it's called the Gravitron. At Great Adventure, they had one called the Enterprise, which was a Gravitron that kind of went up on its side. Maybe it was Dorney Park where it was the Gravitron. But you know when you go on the Gravitron, there's like individual little slots that you go in. This particular ride was just one wall, and then the floor would drop out below you.
Okay. Steve, you know what's scarier than the colonoscopy ride is the colonoscopy prep ride.
Yes.
You have diarrhea for like
it's
6 hours.
The drinks that they give you. The Dokolax.
Yeah. Hang on. Keith is a like a big Disney fan. He can talk about all the rides. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
What's up, bitches?
Yo, man. Hey, so did you ever ride the Terror, the extraterrestrial alien encounter?
Yeah, and it was, I mean, believe the hype. Like, it definitely was scary. But what happened is, like, they were all, like, they're all about that 4D technology, like, was brand new at the time.
Yeah.
So when they closed that down, they had to shoehorn something in there. So, like, that's, like, a Lilo and Stitch, it's exactly the same motions. Like, it's the same, the shoulder strains push down on you, make it feel like somebody's jumping on you and stuff sprays on you. It's the same exact choreography. It's just with a different storyline.
Okay. All right. So yeah, they just converted that ride with this little change of spot.
And that primeval world, the one that they're closing at Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
That's just like I think they're called like the Crazy Mouse, called the Wild Mouse at like a lot of festivals and stuff.
Yeah, I had read that.
It's Wild Mouse. Yeah, it's a Wild Mouse coaster, except the cars that you sit and spin while you're going.
By the way, the Wild Mouse coasters are like whiplash machines.
Are they?
Like they the thing is, they make these 90 degree turns really fast.
I don't like them.
I don't really care
for
them either.
What's the one at Hershey that goes goes at sharp angles? You're elevated, you know, Kathy? You're elevated, it goes, makes a hard left and a hard right.
That's it.
Is that a mouse?
I think it's the wild mouse. Yeah. I think they have one at Hershey. I don't know if it's named that or not, but I think it's that exact type of ride.
It makes really arch turns.
Yeah, so that's
Not real steep drops.
No.
You're just up high.
It's got to be.
Yeah, they have one at Dorney. God, and it's mouse something. Is it mouse trap?
I don't know. Not sure. It might be. What were you going to say?
Disney does that stuff a lot with the repurposed stuff. Like that ride that you were on, Steve, that you're talking about with the hypodermic needle.
Yes.
They did something at Epcot Center when it first opened that was based on like inner space where you went inside someone's body. And it was the same type of thing. So people getting shrunk down. Like they do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, Keith, that sounds like something very similar.
What was the one at Epcot where people died from the centrifuge nature of it?
Mission to Mars.
So people died on that?
Yeah, a couple of people died.
They have two different ones now. They have one that does. I'm not sure if it doesn't. I have claustrophobia, so I won't go on it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if one doesn't spin and one does, but there's definitely a tamer version because, like you said, people are getting clipped.
Yeah, I remember that you could choose the more intense version.
The deadly version.
Or the less intense version. And, a couple of people died. It was a centrifuge type of thing that gave you the sensation of
zero
strong
G's?
Gravity. Not zero G's, but not zero, but positive G's, like you're lifting off, and stuff like that. So
like a mega gravitron.
Yeah, something along those
Holy
lines.
Holy hell, and people died on that.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. All right, thanks, Keith. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, take care.
All right,
see you. That'll ruin the ride.
Yeah. So, they're getting rid of Stitch's Great Escape. And what were the other ones? A Primeval World, like you said, another Rivers of Light. At Animal Kingdom, I don't really know.
And the Driving Miss Daisy coaster.
They're going to get rid of that? Yeah. Goes too slow, man. Way too slow.
I'm going to take you up on the loop-de-loop.
Yeah. But anyhow, all right, well, thanks for... And our phone lines are just jam-packed with people. Wait a sec. Hang on. Hellhole.
Hellhole.
Hang on. I'm going to go to Joel. Hi, Joel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud. Wanted to get your comment on the hellhole.
The hellhole was in Wildwood, North Wildwood, the very first pier, and I think it was Sport Run Pier, was the hellhole. It had a wooden wall all the way around, and you could look on top. You know, you had people go on top, and they would look down over you, but it was in Wildwood, 100%. I used to go on it all the time.
Okay, yeah. There's more than one.
Well, yeah. there was one in Hershey Park. I have received confirmation on that as well.
They had where the Six Flags I grew up, Six Flags Over Mid-America, they had one called Tom's Twister. Same thing. It was wooden. It was essentially just a tub that spun around, and people could be up and look down while you were doing it, and the floor would drop out and the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. A classic.
The hellhole. I hate those rides.
I used to love them, but...
The problem with Preston is if someone invariably does puke, it becomes everyone's issue.
Everybody's problem.
Yeah.
Well... all right. Well, cool. Well, listen, thanks for the info. I was curious and I kind of wish, even though I hate scary stuff, I wish I would have ridden that legendary ride.
Just to see what it was
just
like.
Just to see what it would have been like. All right. We need to take a quick break, but as we are taking a break, I would like to give something away. I have some movie passes and it is a reserved spot for four people per car. And this will be at Schenkweiler's drive-in. Which is near Allentown, and this is for this Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Okay, the 29th, yeah. There are two movies to inspire your inner child, Hook and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Wow. Ooh. Wow, that's a good double bill.
Yeah, so 215-263-WMMR. We'll take callers 8 and 9, and we'll set you up. And don't forget, if you don't win, you can visit a night at the drivein.com to get first come, first serve passes. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Godsmack. The Killers.
I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be?
Green Day.
We just keep on dreaming.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I would like to send I'll read you this text message. It's from a mystery couple that says, my husband and I are listening to WMMR on our way to make settlement for our first house, and we are crapping our pants.
Oh, that's awesome. I love crapping with my wife.
Good luck to you guys. Listen, you are going to sign more paperwork than you've ever signed in your life.
Yep.
It's just one initial this. Sign these two things and then put your thumbprint here. I mean, it's just one thing after another, another, another. But then after that, you have your own home. How about that?
There'll be that point where you stand in there and you go, this is ours. This is my refrigerator. This is my living room. That's awesome.
I can do whatever I want
to. I'm going to take a crap with my wife.
Mm-hmm. So good luck to you guys. That's a milestone in everybody's life.
Absolutely.
If you are lucky enough to be able to purchase a home. So good luck. I would like to apologize to Ann Gorski of Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
What'd you do to her?
Well, I did do something to her, unbeknownst to me. So let me explain this. I keep stuff in my briefcase, and sometimes I get a little too cluttery in the briefcase, and I forget that things are in there. And I'm like, I wonder what these two envelopes are in my briefcase. So I pull them out. They're sealed. They have postage. They're addressed to Ann Gorski in Pottstown. And I'm like, well, how the hell? These are not to me.
Yeah.
How the hell did I get this?
I'm not Ann Gorski.
And you know what? I opened one. And I'm like, I'm just going to open it and find out why I have this, because otherwise this is just a mystery. And I open it up, and you'll see there's a card, and it says happy birthday on it.
Oh, no.
And then I open it up. God. It says, hey, happy birthday, Ann. Thanks for listening. Preston, Steve, and we all signed these.
Oh, no,
you didn't.
And I was so confused by this. There's two of them. There's another one here. And this one says, happy birthday. And it says, Ann, happy 40th birthday. No sad bro, Casey boy.
Oh, man.
And Marissa signed that one. And I'm like, well, how the hell did these? So I came to Marissa and I'm like, Marissa, help explain this to me. How did I end up with these? And she goes, maybe somebody sent you these with self-addressed stamped envelopes, and you were supposed to sign them and get them back in the mail, and they were going to arrive to Ann Gorski, unbeknownst to her, because whoever sent these to me gave me the address and the postage with their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. They're postmarked May 4th.
Oh, boy.
So I've been sitting on these for months. And so whoever sent these to me must think I'm the biggest dick in the world.
Well, if you look over to the right, there's a news clipping that's announcing the viewing for Ann Gorski.
Oh, shut up.
It was her last birthday.
So
and the only thing she wanted
was that card. So Ann Gorski of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. First of all, happy birthday.
Yeah. Yes, on May 4th.
And second of all, I am sorry that I did that. So
that gives me the opportunity to say we do get bombarded with so much stuff, and everything that you send means something to us. So if sometimes something falls to the crack and you don't hear back, don't hesitate to send again. My email, the work email, skims everything like crazy. A lot of times I hate that there's two separate categories for mail that comes in, that it'll shunt stuff off to one mailbox that I never check. And it sucks. So with that in mind, if you sent something and you wanted a response and didn't get it the first time, try it again for me. I will definitely do my best to get back to you.
Me, I'll just put it in my briefcase.
With your Ann Gorski collection.
Yeah. All right, so May 4th, 2021 is on a Tuesday. And so I just wrote down, we're going to remind you next year, we're going to wish her a happy birthday.
Yes.
On her birthday.
Well, I don't know if it's actually her birthday because this is when they paid for the postage that
this was sent to me.
But anyhow.
Yeah.
You always pay for the postage on the birthday.
You did a really nice thing for my birthday, which you did for Casey. So thank you. I wanted to thank you publicly for that. You pulled you pranked me a little bit, but it was gorgeous and well done.
Thank you.
Marissa's going to put it up on PrestonandSteve.com, this video that you've been putting together, this like drum series video. You did one for me for my birthday, which was yesterday. And it was amazing. I watched it in bed with my girlfriend yesterday morning, and we were crying and laughing, and it was so well done.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. It was awesome.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I pulled some trickery in there with the music and thought that Nick would appreciate it.
I absolutely did. And you took a song that I loathed, and now I love it because of you.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, first of all, you're a great drummer. If anybody ever doubted that, watch these videos because you're really good at it. But you picked one of my favorite Pearl Jam songs to start. And then you tricked me.
Yeah. And then he gave you some treats at the end.
Yeah.
You know, extra treats.
So many so many hidden gems and Easter eggs and stuff. It was fantastic.
Did you like my saxophone solo?
I did.
Thank you.
So Andrea, my girlfriend, was like, wait, is Preston playing the sax too? And I said, well, he's talented. He's not quite that talented.
No.
That was a sap.
sinking, I guess, you know, sax sinking. But well, it was great. It was really well done.
Thank you. I had to borrow that saxophone from somebody. working out well.
You got to invest in a green screen, right? They're awesome.
That is a green screen. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have the green screen?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I, my wife bought it for me, and so now I've been toying around
and
with it.
And do you do that? Like, do you do this, or does somebody
I do
edit
all the editing? Yeah, oh I did gosh. All that stuff. Yeah.
That's really fun.
How many different cameras do you have set up?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Because there's an overhead one, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That one I Velcro to the ceiling.
Wow.
And what is the camera?
It's a GoPro camera.
GoPro, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I have 2 GoPros and a couple of Canons. And these are like, you know, one's my wife's camera. I'm like borrowing everybody's in the family's tech to set it up with and get it done. Then. So cool. I'm glad you like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That'll be available on PrestonSteve.com. Marissa's going to post that. And there's a lot of inside jokey things because Nick and I do a lot of movie lines back and forth to each other, so I included those in there.
A lot of Bob Seger love too.
Yes, I had to throw in some Bob Seger. By the way, here's a text that says Preston owes me an apology. I made a bet in studio with him years ago about your first guest in the new studio, and he got it wrong and never paid up.
What was the bet for? Do we?
I don't know.
Well, please specify what the bet was for.
Yeah, I'd like to.
You can say anything because he doesn't remember it.
Yeah, I know.
There's a follow up text that just says pay up, Preston. I don't know. We'll have to find that out. I don't remember that at all. Casey thinks I may owe him $100, too, from an old bet.
I think you're supposed to take Ann Gorski out for a date.
we can arrange that.
Remember that bet?
I totally remember. Yeah.
I remember the bet. I thought I paid him. I may not have. It was $100. I will make good on that.
Earlier, you got confused in your both in your memories about who wanted to find out if you could fly through Jupiter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of confusion.
A lot of things we don't remember.
Oh, my God.
What?
Just in general. All the stuff that we forget.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention this. This is, speaking of $100, this is a lot of fun. Steve passed this along to me. It's from Country Time Lemonade, and they have started this campaign. And the company's website has this issued. It says, we know that this will be a rough summer for lemonade stands. And if the big guys are getting bailed out, why shouldn't we help the littlest entrepreneurs get the same treatment? That's why Country Time has created the Littlest Bailout, an economic relief program to help the smallest of small businesses, lemonade stands.
This is so great. It's a great idea.
It says stimulus checks to help kids preserve the values of lemonade stands, honest work, and entrepreneurship while putting a little juice back into the economy. And here's what you do. They have an application form that you fill out, and you put your child's lemonade stand name and your first name, and then you fill out your information, and you fill it out, and it's a chance for you to get a $100 bailout for your child's lemonade stand business.
That's awesome.
A great idea.
It is cool. Do you remember having a lemonade stand as a kid?
I absolutely do, yes.
Yeah.
I've already stopped at 2 so far this summer, and I bought the lemonade and then poured it out because I'm like, watch them. I don't want the extra sugar.
Right, yeah.
I try to stop by every one of those that I can because I totally remember doing that as a kid.
They're wonderful when you see kids do that.
And mine were so rinky-dink, it was ridiculous. Like, I never had a really cool actual stand made. It was just a table.
Yeah.
Sign
what it
crayon.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Marissa?
There's a little kid in South Philly. He's 10 years old. His name is Micah Harrigan. I'm pulling up the Philadelphia Inquirer article about him. He will put every lemonade stand to shame. He is like starting an LLC. He has printed up stickers and T-shirts, and he's been collecting money for the past few weeks. And he's got to be up over thousands. And
wow.
Something happened, and people have been like rolling up with like checks for hundreds or thousands of dollars. He runs out in like an hour now. He's doing pop-ups. He's doing one in Manayunk this Thursday.
Is this for charity or is this for profit?
A front for a drug ring.
I think it might be for profit.
Is he laundering money?
Look at it. It's just wonderful, the setup he's got here.
Yeah. And then a lot of people have donated like bottles and lids and caps and stickers because everybody has these products that they can't use.
Oh, the picture just came up. He's got a really solid setup. This is terrific.
It's pretty good. I mean, listen, I'm glad that he's doing well, but the kind that I'm thinking has a big sign up over top, lemonade and all that stuff. This is pretty bare bones.
He's doing merch, though.
But if he's doing merch, he's hit another level.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to have one letter backwards, right?
You know, just to give it a little kid character for sure.
But I'm impressed by this kid. I actually kind of want to go to the pop-up because every interview I've seen with him, he's like a very well-spoken, adorable 10-year-old kid who's out there. He has like 10 different flavors of lemonade, and he did a wedding the other day.
Well, that's cool that he's doing that. Yeah. And I'm looking at it, and you know, the cups all have lids on them, and they've got a little sticker on there. So, yeah, he's branding it.
He's got the deal. Yeah, that's what he's doing.
It's going to be on Shark Tank.
Absolutely.
Wow.
With his own brand.
Okay. Hang on. Listener Kyle is the guy who I apparently made a bet with. He's on the line now. So, hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So what's this bet thing that you and I had?
You bet me $100 in a case of beer that Bill Burr was not the first guest in your new studio when I was in there for my birthday 2 years ago.
Okay.
You said it was the South Philly String Band. Nick agreed, and I found the audio. It was Billy Burr.
Bill Burr, and you were right. And have we confirmed this? I want to make sure was that confirmed?
Are you sure it wasn't the Flores? Oh God!
Because it was Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, I thought it was the Mariachi Band.
Our first official day in here was the Mariachi Band, but we also had John Leguizamo in here before. We officially moved over, so there's more than one answer. But I think you owe him $100.
You do. I don't think you have any legitimacy in saying
no,
that.
No, I think it's $200.
What do you get?
Well, inflation.
Right. Yeah. It's been.
Well, wait.
Years.
Hold on, Kyle. Were you in the studio when this happened?
Yeah, I was. Nick, it's Catcher. Man, what's up? I'm every year for my birthday. I called.
Right.
And
so, do we confirm when you were here? Do we find the information while you were here?
No, I found it. I went home and found it, sent it to Preston, and he ignored my tweet.
What was the date?
Dude, I don't read people's tweets.
Then $300.
What was the date?
You can email me.
I will email you, Preston. Yeah.
Hey, Catshirt.
Email us with the date you were in here, that specifically you're talking about, because we can chronologically go back.
No, don't email. Tell it to us right now. We can get this information right now.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Look at us.
It wasn't on the air. I told Preston, here would be a really cool, stupid question for you. Who was the first in-studio guest?
There's a lot of caveats to this bet.
Wait, why? How? It's not that hard. We'll just find the first in-studio guest. That's it.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, and decide whether or not you owe him that $500.
What year was it? That's what you're asking me? In this studio, it was, what was the year?
It was 2007.
2005.
Oh, 2008.
Yeah, it was the same year.
May 5th, 2008.
The same year the Phils won the World Series. That's how I remember it. And, yeah, it was Cinco de Mayo because we had the full-on mariachi band.
Okay. We'll have Marissa track that down in the archives. All right, Kyle? And if it's...
Well, I need the money. I need the money to go on a trip to Lake Michigan.
You need the money to go on a trip when?
To Lake Michigan.
It's a mission.
Suck it, Kyle. All right, we're going to check on this.
I love you guys.
All right, love you too, Kyle. Thank you.
Lake Michigan, he's going.
Marissa?
All right, I'm looking at 2008. We keep a log of all of our archives. Thank you to every intern we've ever had who has helped us with these. On May 5th, 2008, we did a mariachi band wake-up call.
Right.
And so the mariachi band played live in our studio that day, if that's who we want to consider our first guest.
Well, who were the guests that day?
Else?
Was anybody else?
There was nobody else. But on the 6th, we had John Belaris.
Okay.
Wait, did we get him in studio?
We did, Casey.
Wow.
I actually was texting with him this weekend.
Oh. All right. We also had Silvertide and Lauren Harris, who was doing a win-a-date.
So when was
Bill Burr? I got to keep looking for that. I do remember, I think this is what Nick was mentioning, we did like a fake break. Like we were in the other studio and one of the engineers came down and were like, do you guys want to do a practice break in
the
studio?
Yeah.
So was that
Bill? Was it with Bill Burr?
That was Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah, we brought him over here to show it off and test run.
On May 2nd, 2008, we did have Bill Burr in studio.
Whoa. But we wouldn't have been. That wouldn't have been.
Are we sure?
Helium tonight.
I don't know.
All right, Marissa, there's $1,000 up for grabs here, so we need.
Yeah.
Preston owes this guy $1,000.
Do I get half of it? Because I can just rewrite these however
sure.
I want.
Sure. Hey, listen, everybody, it's like the community jar. Just take what you want.
Yeah.
Take what you want. Go ahead. Everybody will be. I just want to make everybody happy. That's my goal in life, is to make everybody happy.
That's right, man.
Okay.
You're like Mr. Rogers.
I don't know what to do about this, but we'll find out. But
she's going to do some more investigating.
Who Marissa is?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the files of Marissa Magnata.
Mm. All right. Let me see here. I did see this interesting bit of information that the Federal Communications Commission unanimously voted on Thursday to finalize 988 as the new number for Americans to reach for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Now,
because it was a long number,
yeah,
right? It wasn't
1-800-273-TALK. Okay. Is one that you can call.
No,
this will not hit. It will not be required by all phone service providers until July 16, 2022. So we're a couple of years away before everybody is, you know, required to use it.
Oh, you but gotta they can accelerate that.
But they can move over before.
Yes,
like,
they can.
Okay, so hopefully they all will.
988.
If you are have any suicidal.
Yes.
Thoughts.
How many dedicated three-number lines are there? Because we know there's 911, obviously. There's 811 before you dig.
Yes.
Right?
We went through a couple of them.
411 for information, right?
Does that still exist?
I don't know.
I don't know.
777 if you believe Preston owes you money.
Right. There's that one. Yeah.
What's 311?
That's the city.
Okay. So non-emergency... Oh. Things you need to report to the city.
Did anybody say 511?
No.
There's a lot. Well, I see 511 all the time, like on highway signs. Call 511 for maybe some sort of traffic
information.
Information
or highway information, mm-hmm. You know, repair work or something like that.
Yeah, I'm curious how many there are.
Because I remember Nick. Yeah, 411. And remember, for a while in the, I guess, the 80s or 90s, it was, you know, what's the 411? What's the information?
Right, yeah.
It was kind of like asking what's the latest, what's going on.
211 for information about the sun.
But I used to call information all the time.
Constantly.
For stupid stuff, too.
Even that you could easily look up in the book. Yeah.
411. So there's 511. Yeah. And Nick is looking that up. It says 511 Tactical. No, that's a company.
That's a company. That's
here he goes. Oh, really? Because I would call that because I always buy tactical
stuff.
Well, Steve,
511tactical.com. That one's for you. But 511, the phone call is a transportation and traffic, like Casey was saying.
Okay.
All right. So they're working on 988. Good. In the UK, 999 is their version of 911.
Right.
I know that. Okay. So.
Hello.
Yes.
Are you having a bit of an emergency?
The suicide rate in the U.S. has been climbing for decades, so... Obviously, this is something that needs to be done.
Absolutely. It's actually skyrocketed during the COVID pandemic.
It actually has, yeah. Let me see here. Oh, I saw this was pretty interesting. Researchers from the UK, speaking of that region.
Yes.
Durham. Researchers from Durham University and Germany's Fraunhofer Institute claimed that they have come up with the world's first manufactured non-cuttable metal, just 15% the density of steel, which they say could make for indestructible bike locks and lightweight armor.
Non-cuttable metal. So where does it sit on, say, a comparison with diamonds?
Well, it's not hardness. I'll try to explain this. It goes into very big, very great detail.
Is it in essence like a kitchen?
No, that's the sun.
Oh, okay.
The sun is like a kitchen.
Yes.
No. The material, which is named Proteus.
Proteus.
Uses ceramic spheres in a cellular aluminum structure to foil angle grinders, drills, and the like by creating destructive vibrations that blunt any cutting tools used against it.
This is brilliant. It's brilliant. Now, I do understand exactly what that is, and I think that makes total sense.
The researchers took inspiration from the tough cellular skin of a grapefruit.
Yes. And that's when I attach my bike to a pole, I attach it with a grapefruit.
And the hard, fracture-resistant aragonite shells of mollusks in their creation of the Proteus design. So an angle grinder or drill bit will cut through the outer layer of a Proteus plate, but once it reaches the embedded ceramic spheres, the fun begins with vibrations that blunt the tool's sharp edges, and then fine particles of ceramic dust begin filling up the gaps in the matrix-like structure of the metal.
So it foils the angle grinder, but what about the ham and egger?
That's a good question. These cause it to become even harder the faster you grind or drill due to interatomic forces between the ceramic grains.
I guess we're looking at something right now that looks like it's... you get a little bit of traction and then it stops it.
Yep. And the force and energy of the disc or the drill is turned back on itself and it is weakened and destroyed by its own attack. It actually destroys what you're trying to cut with.
I kind of feel like this is a wild? This is a bad idea.
Why?
We don't need to have indestructible metal because somebody's going to get it stuck on something and then they're never going to be able to get it off.
Well, there are ways to get it off. I mean, maybe like a blowtorch would cut through this, right?
I don't know, but, you know.
I mean, they
are they going to bring those out in your school locker?
Sure.
You know, whip out the arc welder and tear through your...
Or like a stick of dynamite.
The material is equally effective against high-pressure water jet cutters.
Ooh.
Since the spherical shape of the ceramic chunks tends to widen out the water jet, significantly slowing down its cutting speed.
Have you ever seen someone who is effed with a high-pressure cleaner?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a picture of a guy who shot himself in the eye.
Ooh, oh, he was, no.
Yeah, blind. It just blew out the eye out of the socket.
Essentially, it says cutting our material is like cutting through a jelly filled with nuggets.
Mm, that sounds good.
I love nuggets and jelly.
Yeah.
This is according to...
I mean, I wouldn't eat jelly and nuggets together.
Chicken nuggets and a big bowl of jelly.
Mm. Okay.
You wouldn't eat them together?
Grape jelly?
Maybe I would. I don't know. Well, like a Monte Cristo's got some jelly on it, right?
Yes, I have a question about your nuggets and jelly.
We're talking about...
No, that was just simply an analogy. Well, it sounds good. Could you sit down, please?
Did you say anal jelly?
I don't think a Monte Cristo has jelly on it.
Are you sure? The one that I had did.
Yes, I stood up before about the jelly and nuggets. Did you say a Monte Cristo?
Who let this guy in?
These are all food analogies, sir. People will understand.
The gentleman in the back there?
The obviously very hungry gentleman in the back.
Hey, somebody told me they eat peanut butter and sweet gherkin sandwiches. Have you ever had
what?
That? Yeah, I know.
No.
I was disgusted, but then I thought, maybe.
Well, okay, so you remember when I went to visit my mom, she had me make her a peanut butter mayonnaise sandwich.
Oh, my God.
I know, exactly.
You brought this up. I know. We recoiled.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But I want to say that there were people that texted in or called in about eating peanut butter and pickles.
Yeah. But it has to be sweet pickles. Like bread and butter apparently works, and sweet gherkins.
Yeah, and this
the word gherkin's funny though, isn't it?
Makes you think you're nutsack.
So anyhow, yeah. Who is this?
My friend Leanne D'Amico, okay. Chuck's wife.
Leanne eats that.
Yes.
Ooh. Wow.
They're a strange household.
They are a strange household.
I feel very close to Leanne though because we drank her breast milk.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's
true.
We did. That's a bond you can never break.
Wait, Chuck eats the... I wonder if he still eats the frosting out of the container.
No.
He just eats a container of frosting.
He gave that up?
Yeah, he gave that up. Chuck eats like nothing. His wife eats sweet gherkins and peanut butter. His son will eat anything. And, like, so you know when you're going to, like, taste something for the first time and you just kind of give it, like, a...
He takes
a full-on bite.
Who? His son?
His son. And if he doesn't like it...
Which is complete opposite of Chuck.
Total opposite. And if he doesn't like it, he'll just be like, no, I don't really like it. And he'll eat it. Like
he'll finish what
he's eating. Well, this picture here seems to suggest that peanut butter pickles and chips... Is this a sweet pickle? A combination that is weirdly delicious and addicting.
Well,
that looks gross.
That.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
By the way, Casey, though. Monte Cristos have syrup on them.
Ah.
Not jelly.
Ah.
So is there a way to modify that? We're talking about metal here, sir.
No, you're talking about metal. I'm talking about jelly.
So this guy...
I am in the wrong room. I just noticed.
Stefan Snivzevsky is the one who said that cutting our metal is like cutting through a jelly filled with nuggets.
He just
said it again!
He's the assistant professor of applied mechanics at Durham's Department of Engineering. He said, what?
A jelly filled with nuggets?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know.
I would fill nuggets with jelly.
Yes. So they're little.
Yes.
Your metal would be easily penetrable.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
You're penetrable. Enough.
That's why you haven't invented an indestructible metal yet.
Yeah.
He said, if you get through the jelly, you hit the nuggets.
Son, come in here. I want to tell you something.
This is my advice for dating a woman. Gotta remember, when you get through the jelly, you're gonna hit the nuggets. You know what I'm saying?
No, Grandpa.
I'm saying, when you got a girl on her back, you ain't going through the jelly. Nah, forget it.
He said, if you get through the jelly, you hit the nuggets, and the material will vibrate in such a way that it destroys the cutting disc or drill bit.
Okay.
The ceramics.
Why don't they just make these things out of nuggets?
The ceramics embedded in this flexible material are also made of very fine particles, which stiffen and resist the angle grinder or drill when you're cutting at a speed, in the same way that a sandbag would resist and stop a bullet at high speed.
I think what's happening here is that in a regular, a static piece of metal, you can get traction to go through. As you're cutting through this, the nuggets, so to speak, are shifting and throwing off the and damaging the blade and wearing it down to stop you from cutting through. That's my take on it.
By the way, Casey, this text says, you're thinking of Bennigan's. They served the Monte Cristo with raspberry jam,
that's
and
it
was delicious.
Okay, that's it. Okay. Oh, that reminds me.
I was just in here a few minutes ago. I was talking about nuggets and jelly. I went to my proper seminar, which is next door, but I just thought Bennigan's was what I was thinking of.
You just wanted to come in and clear it up for everyone so that they understand. Yes, what?
It reminds me that the only Bennigan's left in the country is in, like, Vineland, New Jersey.
Really?
And I've been meaning to get down there for their broccoli bites.
Do we know this?
We knew it last year.
Okay.
This year, you know.
Was it true then?
It was true then.
What about Fuddruckers?
The last Fuddruckers I knew of was out in Lancaster. I don't know if it's still there or not.
There used to be one in Hershey.
Fuddruckers used to have very good hamburgers, and they also had a bakery section.
Yeah. When you, great brownies.
When you Google Bennigan's, the first thing that comes up, Casey, is Bennigan's Vineland. The third thing that comes up is Bennigan's Monte Cristo.
Shut up!
I swear to God.
It's where do you see that? Point that out to me.
So when you type in Bennigan's, right?
Yeah.
And then apostrophe S. Third one down, Monte Cristo.
He's not kidding.
So that's their sandwich, huh?
After that is the smothered chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Bennigan's Monte Cristo sandwich. So here's how you make it. It says copycat beginner's Monte Cristo sandwich. Nick, click on that.
So, yes, it's so good that you can...
Nick click.
Was that, Nick click? Was that you?
No, that was Casey doing his impression of my mouth.
He's clicking right now.
It's so popular that it has spawned fake recipes or copycat recipes on other websites.
I do love a Monte Cristo.
Oh, apparently it's deep fried.
Ooh.
Yeah, of course.
Did you think it was healthy?
No, I didn't think it was healthy. I mean, because generally a Monte Cristo is, what the hell are we talking about?
We're talking about impenetrable metal.
Yeah, metal. Come on.
That's fine.
It's French toast pieces with turkey and cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
We've got astronauts up there that we can't get back. Let's start with basics. How do you make a Monte Cristo?
Let's work the problem, people.
Lunch is not an option.
Wow.
Gary Sinise is in the test module building a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
failed.
There's a Fuddruckers in
How
Tulsa?
About an open-faced roast beef?
There's one in York, PA, Steve, out by Lancaster. So there are a few Fuddruckers around, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
One in Delaware.
Preston, we have, we're talking about metal, right?
Impenetrable metal, right. And that's what got us to the Monte Cristo.
We have audio of the first guest in the Preston Steve studio.
Oh, no. Sure, why not? Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to play this audio?
Yeah, the guest is revealed 30 seconds in.
All right, here we go. We have our first guest ever in the Preston and Steve studio this morning.
Are we putting a lot of pressure on him, you think?
Maybe, but that's all right. He could use it. It's going to be Bill Burr. And by the way, first guest in the studio. Okay, whatever. Here we go. What's that?
It better be good.
Well, we'll see about that.
No pressure. I like how I got the windscreen on my mic.
It is.
Yeah, Bill Burr. God damn it.
You owe someone $1,000.
Wow.
I care. I'm going to be cutting an album. Hey, what number was the Hooters song?
What, do you know what number that was, Case?
No, that's one of those songs you're like, I could have wrote that. Down, down, down.
By the way, the voice you hear, Helium Comedy Club this weekend, Bill Burr. Hey, doing? And that was our first ever guest in this studio. What about the mariachi band?
Not Hold a guest.
They weren't Marissa. Guests. They were out on a wake-up call.
But they did come in and play that morning.
Maybe after Bill Burr.
No, this was on the 2nd. This was the Friday before our official first day in here.
Okay.
I think we were next door, and we came over to do a practice.
That was it.
So as I was listening to this audio, you hear, you know, everybody trying to get used to the new microphones.
Okay.
And a few things cut out. Like, it was obviously our first break in here.
Back All before right. anything squeaked.
All right. I will say this now. I owe Kyle $100 and a case of beer. Not $5,000.
And a case of champagne.
No.
$100 in a case of beer.
In a case of beer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bill Burr. I watched one of his specials over the weekend.
Okay.
Just the best.
Yeah,
so funny. So effortless. He's just an incredible stand-up.
You know, he's a really good drummer. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard he is. I've never seen him play, though.
You know what? He's really good, and he's good in the movie with Pete Davidson.
King of Staten Island.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's really good. He's a good actor, too.
Do you have any idea what his favorite food in the world is?
Monte Cristo sandwiches. Yes. Who doesn't love
them?
All right. Anyhow, May 2nd is when that was, 2008. So that must have been the confusion then.
Yes, because it wasn't the official. It was our prequel. Yeah.
Our first day.
A preview.
Our first day on the air in here, we had always been we had always considered it to be May 5th. And so he tricked me. He got me on
And now you're out $5,000 in a case of champagne.
$5,000.
Billy.
So I owe you, Kyle. All right, get back in touch with me. Email me, whatever. We'll
get you your money.
I'll get your damn money. Hey, but he was right. I guess he got me.
Well, you said it. You said our very first guest in this studio.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
Damn it.
All right. We do need to take a break. I want to do that now. Can I give away one of these Flyers shirts, Casey?
Yeah, man.
All right, so we have these Flyers playoff shirts from last week. We had JVR on. The Flyers are getting started soon, man. I'm excited about this. When is the 28th, I think, the first?
Yeah, there's some exhibition games. Yeah, and then the playoffs start at the very beginning of August.
Caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to give you this anytime, anywhere playoff shirt. And by the way, you can get them at the Flyers New Era team store at Wells Fargo Center. And they're now open Monday through Friday from 1 to 6, or you can order online at curbside pickup for curbside pickup or delivery at shop.wfcphilly.com. So we'll set you up with that. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. It's a Bizarre File story you haven't heard yet. We'll get to them when we get back.
Monday nights just got a lot louder. Join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for massive amounts of Metallica every Monday night starting at 9. From the monster hits to deeper album cuts, spanning a Hall of Fame career, we're covering all the bases from one of rock's biggest bands. Check out WMMR.com for more from Metallica. Rock news, videos, and interviews with MMR DJs.
So true, Jackson.
The new and improved Metallica Mondays. 9 p.m. with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We are going to dive into some Bizarre File stories right at this very moment.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Hers. Pick up a specially marked bag, or you can pick up specially marked bags of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summerhers.com. Hers, forever good. Shreveport, Louisiana police are actively searching for a woman who allegedly shot her boyfriend and left him in critical condition when he refused to argue with her early Saturday morning. That's why she shot
him. You just can't win.
Detectives have secured an arrest warrant for 29-year-old Jenna Alicia Lawrence, who is being charged with attempted second-degree murder.
And if he had argued with her, she would have shot him.
The shooting happened around 7:30 a.m. Police say they were called to the home about reports of a shooting, and when they arrived at the scene, they found a 34-year-old man on the sidewalk with a gunshot wound to the body. The victim was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, and he is still in critical condition.
Jeez.
The police department said that they learned Lawrence shot the victim following an interaction in which the man refused to argue with her.
He's trying to
He's trying to calm the situation, mm-hmm. and he still gets shot.
Lawrence fled the scene in a green Honda, and police are looking for her. Two people were arrested after fleeing from officers in northeast Kansas and crashing into a cow and a fence.
No! It's an utter catastrophe!
Right off the bat.
Come on, Press.
I never... Why do I never see that? Why do I never pay attention when I'm doing the research and getting these things done at home? Why do I never think
of
it?
The first thing I think of.
Sheriff Tim Moore said 18-year-old Sky Joe covers up.
What?
That's his name. Sky Joe covers up and 21-year-old Santana K. Noriega were both arrested after the chase on Saturday afternoon. Moore said the cow that they had hit with their car suffered two broken legs and was expected to be euthanized. The chase began after a sheriff's deputy pulled over the Chevrolet Malibu that Covers Up was driving. Covers Up fled until the car struck spikes that officers deployed and crashed into a farm fence and striking the cow. Covers Up and Noriega fled on foot after the crash. Noriega was quickly recovered, and Covers Up was arrested a couple of hours later after a search in the area. Covers Up was arrested on suspicion of fleeing, police driving a suspended license, reckless driving, and several other charges.
Poor cow.
Here's another story that involves cattle. Repentant bandits in Nigeria's northwestern state of Zamfara are being offered two cows for every AK-47 that they surrender.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's an attempt to encourage them to give up a life of crime and live a normal life as responsible citizens, the Zamfara governor said.
Have we got a deal for you? Two cows for every AK-47.
Motorcycle riding armed bandits have been terrorizing the state, and cows are valued by the Fulani herder community, who have been accused of being behind a wave of attacks. However, members of the community have reportedly rejected the allegations, saying that they too were victims. An average cow in northern Nigeria cost about 100,000 naira, while an AK-47 on the black market could cost as much as 500,000 naira. They said, we were asking them to bring us an AK-47 and get two cows in return. This will empower and encourage them.
Well, that's only 200,000 naira.
I know.
For a 500,000 naira AK-47, you got 300,000 naira to make up.
What do you do with all that naira?
Three more cows.
They often loot shops, steal cattle and grain, and take people hostage for ransoms.
I would mount my AK-47s on my cow.
They're going to see if this works or not. 7 years ago, this is a great story. Jared Ream had given up on what he loves, and that's roller coasters. Weighing in at 430 pounds, he couldn't fit on the rides. But on August 15th of 2019, Reem's life changed with one simple announcement, and that was Orion was coming to Kings Island, and Reem was going to ride that ride no matter what. Reem is waiting in line to realize a dream he's been working hard on to get ready for. He's strapped in and ready for a ride on Orion. When he weighed 430 pounds... Reem got escorted off roller coasters all the time because he couldn't fit in the seats.
That's horrible.
Said, I always told myself that if Kings Island ever built a B&M Giga Coaster, that I would have to ride it no matter what.
And he lost the weight to do it?
That day, the announcer, Ryan, was a day in which I said to myself, I will lose this weight. And I went and I bought a scale. I weighed myself that day. I was 430 pounds. Orion was the goal. And he took no days off to get there. He said, reduce my diet down to 2,000 calories. I was exercising daily within my garage while binge-watching television shows. I would run in place. 10 months and 190 pounds later,
yeah,
Reem rode Orion for the fifth time. Wow. That's cool. He said, not only is it a great roller coaster.
You know what? It wasn't that much.
He said,
it wasn't that good.
Not only was it a great roller coaster, but for me, it will always be one of my top favorite roller coasters just because of the sentimental value of it. Before all this, I was on blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication, and now I'm off all of it. I've received many messages from many great people that have said, this has happened to me. This is great to hear your story that I can do.
It just breaks my heart if you go to an amusement park or a theme park or something and you see someone can't quite make it on the ride.
Yeah,
they try to
sit
down. It's you feel your heart goes out to them.
Reem said the thrill of the ride was worth it, and he plans to ride it over and over again. So that's a great success story
We've had Coach Jim DeBattista on our show a few times. That he won The Biggest Loser, and he posted a video the other day of him hundreds of pounds ago trying to put his shoes and socks on. And it was, I mean, it's heartbreaking, but if you look at him today and what he's been able to do and turning his life around, he's a great follow on Instagram.
If he can do it, you can do it.
Yep, Coach Jim 52.
Yep. All right, and then one last story. A man allegedly drove a car through the front of a pet store in Thornton, Colorado, and then he stole six puppies before leaving. Actually, drove his car through the front of the store to steal dogs.
And then did he back the car out?
Yeah. Yeah, he left. So he sold six puppies. The incident happened Thursday night at 10 p.m. Now, these dogs are valued at $14,895.
Oh, my. What kind of puppies are they?
They did not indicate. And the suspect was only described as a man. That's all they have. It was
anything else that you noticed?
It was a man. Police asked that anyone with information to call Crime Stoppers. So
he had four appendages and a head.
Yeah, he did have a head. They noticed that the man had a head. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We are going to get into trash music news. We'll have a lesson question as well. And in music news, reiterating the concert announcements we made earlier this morning. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, live music in Philadelphia, courtesy of Live Nation and WMMR. Get you the details in just a little bit. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today's prize for the lesson question is a digital download of the movie Caddyshack.
Ooh!
The golf classic, which is pretty awesome, so... let's see. What are we going to go with here as far as the question is? Wow. This would be a really hard one. What Cyndi Lauper song did Harry Chapin write? 215-263-WMMR. It's from way back this morning. What Cyndi Lauper song did Harry Chapin write? Not really.
Yeah.
Which is why you had to have been listening. You can't go research this online. You had to have been listening. All right, what Cyndi Lauper song did Harry Chapin write? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to do the trash fire. Call us.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what stories we get today. What do you have for us, Steve?
Well, despite rumors of a split, Caitlyn Jenner and girlfriend Sophia Hutchins were seen grabbing takeout from Chrissy's restaurant in Malibu on Sunday. Sophia gingerly carried her food out in a small Prada bag, while Caitlyn followed behind carrying her food on a hand truck.
Yeah.
The cast of the 1998 version of The Parent Trap held an online reunion on Instagram last night to benefit food drives around the country. One uncomfortable moment occurred when Mickey Rourke appeared to accidentally join the Zoom session, only to reveal it was Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, my God.
And finally, environmental activist Leonardo DiCaprio catching blowback online after he and girlfriend Camilla Maroney were seen getting off a private jet over the weekend. DiCaprio later explained the move, saying that flying commercial would have significantly hampered his plans for full mid-air vaginal and anal sex. Wow. And I support him on that. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to the question, what Cyndi Lauper song did Harry Chapin write? Not really. 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
What's going on? You guys rock.
Thank you, Mike. All right, what Cyndi Lauper song did Harry Chapin write?
She bop.
Yeah. Hang on, Mike. And you get a digital download of Caddyshack, the golf comedy classic starring Chevy Chase, Rodney Dangerfield, Bill Murray, and the Pesky Gopher celebrates its 40th anniversary this month. Own the Blu-ray and digital movie now. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by Armor Metals and Recycling. Get cash today. If you need cash fast, bring your scrap and e-cycling to Armor Metals and Recycling and walk away with cash today. Located in Pennsauken, New Jersey, or at armormetalsrecycling.com. There it is. I'm going to start off with the concert announcements we made this morning. Yes, concert announcements. live music, live performances, and they will be taking place in what's called the Live-In Drive-In Concert Series, courtesy of WMMR and Live Nation. It will be in the parking lot, Citizens Bank Park, allowing you to enjoy the comfort from your own car. Now, the Preston and Steve Show presents the first show that we announce, August 16th, Burt Kreischer.
Yeah.
And then MMR presents this band. August 22nd, the Struts will be performing live. And then finally, Shinedown performing acoustically as Smith and Myers on September 3rd. Tickets go on sale this Friday. That's at 10 a.m. And each car will purchase one ticket, which is good for a maximum of four people. If you want the details, you can go to WMMR.com. So good stuff. We're excited about
it. It is cool. It's a good it's a good thing to look forward to.
In commemoration of what would have been Chris Cornell's 56th birthday on July 20th, his estate released previously unissued 2016 version of him performing Guns N' Roses' classic ballad, Patience, along with a new video track, which was laid down at L.A.'s Henson Studios. And it was tracked after Cornell had heard of GNR's decision to reunite. Ultimate Classic Rock posted that Cornell's version is built on finger-picked acoustic guitar, a sparkle of synth, and programmed drums. And according to the YouTube credits, it was mixed and produced by Brendan O'Brien, who also worked on Soundgarden's 1994 LP, Super Unknown. I'm going to play a little bit of it for you. One of Chris's engineers, this is according to Vicki Cornell, she posted a statement that said, one of Chris's engineers recently reminded me of Chris's recordings from sessions in 2016, which he still had, and Patience was one of them. That recording was inspired by our daughter, Tony, who was a huge GNR fan, and asked her dad to teach her to play it on the guitar. His cover is so hauntingly beautiful, it brought it all back in a rush of bittersweet memories. His birthday seemed the perfect time to share this and celebrate Chris, his voice, music, stories, and art. A man is not dead while his name is still spoken, and though his art, an artist's soul still, and through his art, an artist's soul still burns as bright upon those who look upon up to him and his memory. Releasing music that was special to Chris keeps a part of him here with us, his heart and his soul, his love and his legacy. So here's a little bit of that. On that guy, man. She went on to say, Vicki went on to say, I want to thank everyone who continues to celebrate and keep Chris alive. A special thank you to Axl, Slash, and Duff for continuing to honor Chris in their live shows. So, and she goes on to thank the fans as well. In earlier Chris Cornell news, other Chris Cornell news earlier this week, his children, Tony and Christopher, teamed up with the Addiction Policy Forum and the Chris and Vicki Cornell Foundation to launch the new educational program called Stop the Stigma and a corresponding podcast. In a statement, Cornell's children hope that the initiative empowers young people to tackle the stigma around addiction and teaches teens the science of substance use disorders, prevention, and that addiction is a disease and a mental health issue and not a moral flaw.
Yeah, besides the music, if they can get, you know, a lot of traction with that, reach a lot of people, that will be the legacy.
Yep.
That'll be that they can be most proud of.
Did you guys see some of this stuff with Chris Jericho and Sebastian Bach over the weekend?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
They were going back and forth, and it continues. It's a Twitter war that erupted last week when Bach accused Jericho of miming on stage rather than singing live. And on Saturday, Jericho shared a video of himself singing an a cappella portion of Skid Row's Youth Gone Wild to prove his talent. Afterward, he pointed to his face and mouth, miming. Loudwire reports that Bach shared several unanswered text messages he sent to Jericho during the night, including telling him that his singing sucks and that he should stop singing for the benefit of all mankind.
And Jericho is a big fan. He said he's a big fan of Sebastian Bach.
Yep. Bach also seemed to threaten to fight Jericho, but those tweets have since been deleted.
It's probably not a good idea.
I'd pay good money to see
that. Especially in Sebastian Bach's current physical state.
Oh, my God.
Do you think it's legit or you think it's orchestrated?
I think, well, you know, that's a good question, Nick.
I mean, it's...
I mean, he does, I mean...
I like Chris Jericho a lot, and it seems like this would be a great way to drum up some publicity, but maybe Sebastian Bach's a little nutty.
I'm usually very, my radar's usually very up, and I'm cynical about all these things. I didn't initially think about that, but now you got me thinking a little bit. I mean, it comes from the, you know, in the world of wrestling, these rivalries are... Mm-hmm. Legendary. Maybe who knows?
Who knows?
But he's been doing Fozzie for a long time and has never tried anything stunty about it.
Right.
And, you know, he's just worked real hard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Slipknot have postponed their Knot Fest at Sea cruise for the foreseeable future, according to an announcement on the band's social media accounts yesterday. Sorry, Steve. I know you were looking forward
to that. I was really up for that.
They initially pushed it from this August to August 2021. In the post, Slipknot wrote, due to unforeseen scheduling factors since then, we have made the difficult decision to postpone Knot Fest at Sea for the foreseeable future.
Damn.
They appreciate any patience and so on. All currently booked cruise guests will receive a full refund. And then one last story. In a recent interview, Tony Iommi recalled the time that he had Madonna kicked out of a Black Sabbath rehearsal. The day before, Iommi, Ozzy, Geezer, and Bill were set to reunite at Live Aid. The band got together to rehearse. This is in 1985. He said it was a bit of a disaster, really, to be honest. As the band rehearsed and chatted about old times, two girls came in and were hanging out in the back of the room. Iommi instructed his crew to kick them out because it was a private rehearsal. He said, anyway, he goes up and tells him, turns out to be Madonna, so it was a bit embarrassing.
Well, who's Madonna with? Did they mention?
Nope. But Madonna was one of them, and he had her tossed out of there, and he's a little bit embarrassed about it. And that is what I have in music news. We're going to break one more time. We're going to come back in a moment, and we will get to all the goodness that is the end of our show, including the letter of the day and seeing what Pierre Robert has in store for you. Be back in just a moment.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear. Available now in the MMR Rock Shop.
Like t-shirts, hoodies, and tank tops.
With designs from retro MMR logos to the latest from the Preston and Steve Show branded hats and tops. For guys and gals, all with the MMR attitude you expect.
Plus a few things to keep your pie hole happy, like coffee mugs and masks.
Search the word shop at WMMR.com and get shopping. Stuff for you, gifts for them. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your wardrobe.
We are coming to the end of our particular day.
And, is it 10:38 in the morning or 10:38 at night? I'm looking out the window.
What's happening?
Don't even get Pierre started, I'm sure.
I've never seen this. I didn't know that this happened to our windows.
They just did it while we were gone.
Oh, okay.
So apparently the windows on the outside of our building, they have added a tint to, and the tint reacts to the sunlight. So it's like, you remember those glasses? It's
Yeah, my wife has them.
I remember they used to make them like they would turn dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Big difference when you'd be in the light or in the shade. And same thing with these. They go dark as the light hits it, and they don't need to go dark as the light. I like the way the sun looks as it's coming through the window.
Yeah.
But maybe that has to do with
heating the building?
Heating.
Cooling the building?
Yeah, probably does.
I wonder if this does the same thing in the winter, because that would be counterproductive. I could see in the summer when you're running AC.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I guess we won't ever need our shades that we have installed.
Yeah, that's right. We probably won't.
Well, there's an aspect of it.
Probably will not need our shades any longer. Speak of the devil, he's coming in, and we'll find out.
Dr. Pierre.
Yeah. Hi, Pierre.
Good morning.
We were just bitching about our tinted windows.
Yeah, it makes it look like it's cloudy out.
It does.
And because yesterday I was going, God, it's hot. And I think I even said, but don't worry, you know, it's hot and a little cloudy out. And then I went over to the window and I could see shadows on all the trees. And I go, oops.
Yeah.
It's weird.
This lovely carbuncle they've put onto the building. There's an old saying in show business.
Carbuncle. Yeah.
You can't polish a turd. The building is a turd, and they're attempting to polish it with this high-tech addition, which is messed with our view. I was coming in, and I noticed this sign downstairs that had been put up, I think, about 6 years ago. It said, construction estimated time, 4 months. and I go,
not quite.
Not quite.
Yeah.
Well, COVID happened.
No, I know.
Yeah, I was talking with one of the construction workers in the elevator.
They're really nice people, by the way.
And so they are. And they ran into an interesting but beneficial wrinkle, because most of the people who work for Philadelphia Insurance, which is the main tenant in this building, aren't here. So they're able to do all of this work at Philly Insurance because those people are still working from home. So they're actually going to be able to finish ahead of schedule for a lot of the Philly Insurance stuff, the internal stuff. So some of it's happening sooner. Some of it's taking longer because they had to stop in some respects. So they're putting in plants now out front. So
that looks actually very nice.
It does. Yeah, some of it looks really nice out front.
It really does.
I would like a fourth floor slide down to the parking lot.
That would be fun.
That would make this building fun.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know what?
Fun would be nice.
I do wish I could have worked with the window opening up to Rittenhouse Square. As much as I really would not care to work in Philadelphia right in the middle of the city.
Yes.
Because of parking and, you know, things like that. It would have been so cool to be able to look down on that square and open up the windows and have the air come in and all that stuff. I know, look at you. I know you did.
I mean, it was so glorious.
Had to have been.
It was, I mean, because it was an ever-changing tableau. You would look out there, you know, and because there were businesses all around, you'd see businessmen and women in the daytime, but you'd see, you know, old folks, young folks, college people. There was a guy that walked his cat on a leash through Rittenhouse Square. You'd see the most unusual, bizarre things. And on nice days, we would get a MARTI unit, which was a portable unit, and just go sit in the square and broadcast the show.
That's cool.
We've never quite come back to that level of magic. The building was quite the dump, to be perfectly honest. It made this place look like a Holiday Inn.
Hard to make the context. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, the location was magnificent. Wow. And when that check comes in, I am buying the station, moving us back there, and you'll have a parking spot.
Thank you.
And a limo driver to get you there.
Oh, wow. I'm on board.
Yeah. And there'll also be all the great restaurants around there and all the great vibe and shopping and
City wage tax.
But you'll all be paid extra to cover to the compensate. City wage
right.
tax.
Right.
You'll actually be making tons more money.
When we worked at Y100 in media, we had a lovely window that opened up onto Baltimore Pike. And that was just
majestic.
Well, gorgeous.
Philly Insurance is, I guess, the main client of this building, and they're creeping into our building because they want to make our building look like an insurance company, too. So as you walk the hallways, everything looks very insurance.
Turn around here. Look at the guy doing the windows.
There's a guy cleaning the windows.
By the way, he's right not now. Up on anything. That's how tall he is. Yeah.
Joel Embiid is out front.
Pierre's trying. Oh, it's Pierre, it's soundproof.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other pane.
There's another pane of glass between us and him.
And
about 3 feet in between the two panes of glass. Hey, I have something for you.
Yay. Oh!
Hey. I have a gift for you.
Oh, great day in the cookie.
All right.
Okay.
Great day in the cookie.
Yeah.
My wife got this for
you. Wow.
So it's from both of us, but she got it. Pierre's been buying people masks around here. So, Pierre, I have this for you.
Wow!
Here, I'll show you guys.
Oh, whoa!
That's amazing.
It's the front of Minerva.
Oh my God.
A Volkswagen van mask.
I have two colors to choose from.
Red and blue.
Red and blue. They're both for you.
I love it.
That's great.
Thank you.
I want to see what that looks like on you, if you don't mind. I want to see if we can make that out. It's a VW van or VW bus.
Front. It's the front of
the front of it. Yeah.
Really old one.
Yeah.
The super micro.
It runs micro just as well as the actual Minerva.
Yeah, let's not go there.
There you go. Oh, come on.
Come on. No, no, no.
Get on there. Get on there.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
It actually looks nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it.
Dude, that looks great. Really?
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Cool. There it is.
All right.
He got me a Rush mask, so there you go, my man.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. We need to do the letter of the day if you're ready.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
V as in van.
All right, V as in van. I love it. And we have a pair of Ron Jaworski golf passports. Each passport entitles you to 8 rounds of golf. That's 1 at each of his 6 local courses, a 7th bonus round locally, and the 8th round at Honey Run in York, PA. And some restrictions apply. The Ron Jaworski golf passport. It's the MMR big friggin' deal this week, by the way. You can get it now at WMMR.com with the keyword deal. Supplies are very limited. This deal usually sells out quickly. 8 rounds of golf for just $89.
Wow.
And shipping is included. So make sure you check the big friggin' deal, WMMR.com. What's in store for the show today?
Thank you for asking. We've got a block of Aerosmith for Eric Bazillion's birthday. We've got a block of the Hooters. And for your Rush Love and Heart, we've got a block of the Grateful Dead.
Wait, you have a block of Aerosmith for Eric Bazillion's birthday?
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay.
Did I say it wrong?
You said we have a block of Aerosmith for, and then you go for Eric Bazillion's birthday. You didn't pause. He said the Hooters.
Okay.
After that.
Okay.
So it did sound like that at
it
first.
It would be just like me to pass by Hooters altogether and just go to the next thing. So sometimes you got to, that's why having 6 people with you can catch little things that happen.
Yes. It's just you and Pancake Man.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you got to get a handle on your Hooters.
Yeah.
All right, let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Markets Fresh Foods, local flavors, also brought to you by Dunkin'. Visit DunkinCoffeeBreak.com and send your hero a Dunkin' E gift card today. The President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Tomorrow on the program, it is Wednesday, we'll have Secret Tech Swear, we'll go on Fox Good Day, and there is a distinct possibility, since we made the announcement of his show, and we are presenting it, Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
It has not been confirmed yet, but we'll see about getting him on. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Sorry, the board was broken. I think we can do it now. Here, we can end the show. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the bop-bop-toot-a-bop-toot-bop-bop-ba-doo-ga-ga-bop-ba-dop.
Okay, now we're done.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
One question. Is that Dunkachino machine fixed yet?
Next message.
Nick.
Next message.
Now look at traffic. Jim, how is traffic looking? Well, Todd, if you look at I-95 South. Ah!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.